Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
In the age of online retail, buying a car should be no different. That's why Carvana invented a brand new way to buy a car that's 100% online. Without leaving the comfort of your couch, you can browse and buy from their selection of almost 20,000 cars. And once you've made a purchase, your car comes to you, delivered right to your door. Or you can pick it up from one of their coin-operated car vending machines. All of Carvana's cars come with a 7-day return policy, ensuring you get a car that fits perfectly with your life. Not happy? Exchange it or return it for a full refund. And with its dedication to customer service, it's why hundreds of thousands of customers have ditched the dealership and given Carvana 4.7 stars in customer satisfaction. So check out the nation's fastest-growing auto retailer at Carvana.com.
Does anybody want breakfast? Guys, let's go. I'm leaving for McDonald's in 5 seconds.
Why do you start with that?
The Breakfast Stampede Meal. It's only at McDonald's, where there's a meal for every morning.
And nothing says morning like a classic sausage McMuffin with egg. Right now, get this all-time favorite for just $2 on the $1-$3 menu. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Hey, Collider Live fans, Cody here, and by now you've likely heard about Disney Plus, the new streaming service that includes Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, and National Geographic. With all these amazing brands in one place, Disney Plus has one of the most incredible libraries in the entire streaming landscape, and it's all ad-free. From beloved classics like Snow White and the Seven Dwarves to today's blockbusters like Captain Marvel and Avengers Endgame to a critically acclaimed documentaries like National Geographic's Free Solo, the content on Disney Plus is truly unparalleled. Disney Plus also offers some of the most beloved TV shows of all time, including 30 seasons of the Emmy Award-winning animated series The Simpsons. And if that weren't enough, Disney Plus has also rolled out a host of originals like The Mandalorian, the first-ever Star Wars live-action series, and High School Musical, The Musical, The Series, a very meta take on the beloved film franchise. It's no wonder Disney Plus has become one of the most talked-about streaming services of 2019, so don't miss out. Sign up for Disney Plus now and start streaming all of this great content today.
We begin today's meditation with a few sipping exercises to remind us a little treat can go a long way. So pick up your McCafe iced coffees, close your eyes, and deep sip in. And deep satisfaction out.
Take a treat retreat at McDonald's. Right now, get a McCafe iced coffee in any size and any flavor for just 99 cents until 11 a.m. Price and participation may vary.
We'll get back to your music shortly, but first, did you know that prescription prices are different at different pharmacies? You could literally drive across the street and get a different price. That's crazy. But with GoodRx, you can instantly compare prices at every pharmacy in your neighborhood and save up to 80%. You're probably thinking there's a catch, right? Nope. It's 100% free and can save you money whether you have insurance or not. In fact, it can often beat your copay. Download the GoodRx app today and start saving. GoodRx is not insurance.
Welcome back to Collider Live, the best show on the damn YouTubes. I'm Roxy Stryer, across from me, the evilest of them all, with the best hair in the world, Arena.
Really?
Yeah.
Good hair today? I didn't even do my hair today. Should I never do it? Is that what's going on?
I hope you go to hell in the best way.
I'm kidding, I did do it.
Wow.
When I say go to hell, is that a compliment for you?
Sure. We're all going to hell, Roxy. We're all in hell already. Happy Monday, everyone.
Happy Monday, Mark Riley.
Hi, everybody. Happy to be here. Happy Monday.
And happy to be sitting next to Winston Marshall.
Woo!
Yay! Thank you for having me. Also, I would actually throw my hat in the ring for best hair. I had a Schmodown fan at the Spectacular be like, you know, I've never been gay, but I saw your hair up a particular way, and all of a sudden I was like, maybe I am.
Ah, wait, so, that's so good funny. For
you. That means you have fantastic hair.
Oh, yes, you do.
You do
have fantastic hair, but I had the opposite happen to me, where I was told multiple times this week that I could make straight men gay. So we're kind of on different sides of that
awful.
Fence right now.
Go back a second there. Who?
You could also make straight women gay.
Thank you so much.
I don't see that as a thing, so I want to get to who said that?
Somebody also messaged me it, and I put it on my Instagram story because have you guys seen that I've been doing that recently?
Yeah.
Take
call
back
them out.
The power.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of fun. I like when
that's what's
do
up.
That. Yeah.
We were together this weekend. We had quite the long day, long weekend. It was really fun. Schmodown spectacular. Darina was sick.
I know. I'm so sad. Everybody was sick. It's like, where are you? I'm like in bed.
Yeah.
Oh, I almost lost my voice last week. It was a whole thing, but I heard it was amazing. Yeah. I'm assuming
so
you guys had an amazing time.
I think that who probably wishes they were in bed because they were working their butts off, Cody and Alex.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Crushing
it
as always, guys.
That was like a 10-11-hour day. Oh,
oof,
my God.
I offered Cody a shot of tequila at the end, and you could just see how bad he wanted to internally, but was like, and now I got to get home and be a dad.
Yeah.
I really wanted it.
He turned it down.
I know, you poor thing, Cody.
I tried to turn that down. That was when the evening took a turn for me. Thank you for that.
The Roxy tequila shot.
That tequila shot. I said, no, yeah. I can't really have some. And you really did. You said, so when you say no, you mean yes. And you put it in front. I was like, holy shit.
Making me sound like a creep.
You were set on giving me a tequila shot. So I appreciate
man,
that, Roxy.
Pressure
good friend.
Is a beautiful thing. Yeah. Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, so what was your, without spoiling anything, what was your guys' favorite moment at the Schmodown this weekend?
Oh, God.
Okay, the part that it's not a match spoiler, but I guess it's a moment spoiler, so I just won't say. But like, it happened about midway through the spectacular. That's what I'll say.
Okay.
I guess that like it gave me a Bulls Michael Jordan flu vibes. That's what I'll say and leave it at that.
Ooh. Okay, okay.
Sticking your tongue
what about
out.
You?
Yeah, exactly.
that was a good one. Towards the end of the night, I think. Was one of my favorites, but I'll say meeting the fans over at the expo, that was really fun, and how many people were just so kind, so wonderful, and so many nice things to say, pictures, having conversations with everybody was so much fun.
As a fan of the league, there's a pretty dope manager reveal. I won't say who or what or how, but that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
the manager reveal, the one I was on stage with Jay and Coy, that was funny.
Yeah, there was a lot of fun things that took place. As always, very dramatic day.
Uh-huh.
It was a very dramatic. I had to smoke a lot of weed towards the end.
Really?
Oh,
where
you did?
You just
Theoretically. She's so high.
Okay. All right.
Taj and
Tal Bachman.
I mean, once it all kind of lifts, maybe we can go a little deeper on it. But
well,
I mean,
when is that?
I don't know.
Do you mean the haze of the weed, or do you mean the embargo?
I embargo.
The haze
on
the weed is still
here
this morning.
Is
that
to your discretion?
Right? Yeah. It's legal rec weed out here, so that's fine.
It's legal. It's becoming legal. It should be legal everywhere.
I do what I want.
That's how I get to sleep.
The only time it wasn't legal.
It's like gives me less anxiety, man.
I guess was when, theoretically, there's a different word for that, right? Not theoretically. What is it?
I don't know.
Metaphor?
Where are you going?
When you say, like, if I did this, you know. No.
Hypothetically.
Whoa, Monday. I'm your bitch, Monday. You got me.
Writing's good.
Hypothetically, in San Diego Comic-Con, if I was smoking in the church that we were performing in and hypothetically got the person behind me kicked out for smoking because they saw me doing it and thought it was okay, hypothetically, that would be not fully right.
Hypothetically, you also may have not known it was a church. So there's that.
Yeah.
There you go.
Boy, that
one
was
fun.
I
plead the
hypothetically or theoretically, whichever one you want.
Metaphorically, was it like actually a church, or is this just like a symbolism for there were too many kids around? So
it didn't look like a church when we were in
church.
Okay.
It was, but I didn't know.
It looked like a regular auditorium.
Okay.
Didn't know.
All right.
Yeah.
Church auditoriums have really good acoustics.
I mean, I also was inside and I didn't melt, so I
Maybe,
I already said go to hell, so maybe you were there by soul.
That's
and
true.
Your spirit
and then
was
maybe
somewhere
it really was just metaphorically a church. If you didn't burst into flames, like you said, like it was just, you know, they just put a cross on the outside to make you think it was a church,
that's
but
true.
You were good, you know?
I got to ask you guys a question about something, though, because this is, again, with all of my ignorant questions, this is, might be the most because I just should probably Google it. But
okay, let me strap in.
Hold on. Strap in. Is vaping legit bad for me?
Okay.
I mean, the news says it is, but the news says a lot of things.
Yeah. So. I think there are certain things that they put in, but the vapes, if you're not getting it at a trusted retailer, maybe you got to look out. So
no, I'm going to legal stores, rec stores, okay. and purchasing vapes. But then all these people are telling me like, uh-oh,
so,
it's a vape.
It's,
I mean, the stuff that's in our food is probably the same, right?
Well, I think there's still research happening.
Right. Well, that's the thing is they're still trying to figure that out. If you're getting some kind of offhand stuff because people will do that so they can get it for cheaper.
Yeah.
And then just like anything else, if you're overdoing it because technically all of it's poison. So if you the problem is a lot of vapors are smoking infinitely more than they were cigarettes or like joints or anything like that.
No, but I'm not vaping tobacco.
You're talking about like vape pens.
Like
weed
pens, yeah.
Yeah,
same thing. It just depends. If you're smoking way too much, sure. But like,
you tobacco vape.
Yeah, I quit it all. I quit the vape.
Oh, because now you gum chew.
Yeah, I do the gum. Yeah, that vape, the tobacco vape, I was, to your point, dude, that just kept going.
You were just hitting it because you could just easily
You could just do it. And so it started to get out of control, so I dropped it.
What do we got?
People in the comments are saying vaping is safe as long as you're not getting cheap street stuff, according to Jake Robles.
Right.
And then other people are saying, trust your grower.
I mean,
that's fair point.
You guys know, I did a series for Leafly called The Art of Extraction. I thought I was like knew everything about extracts and vaping and whatever. But the truth is, I really only know about the specific places I've been to. Like,
sure.
There's so many facilities
now that could all be
doing whatever the hell they want. And
well, not anymore, right? That's the thing about most places now is that they are getting to make sure that everything is regulated. So
yeah.
I just don't know when it comes to the technology of it.
It's kind of like, though, remember when all of our friends started taking a ton of Adderall?
I was going to go with the Four Loko example. Wasn't nothing wrong with Four Loko, which was, what, 8 beers and 10 cups of coffee in a can?
When you had a
19-year-old go, I'm going to have 5 of those a day. And then he had a heart attack and died. So.
Well, I was going to say, is this like a college thing? Because that's when I moved to the States was for college. And everyone was taking all kinds of weird, like drinking weird things.
Oh,
and
Loko
also eating Adderall or whatever the fuck.
You do technically eat it.
Yeah, exactly.
To your point, Rox, yes, I do remember that. Especially at USC, fellow Trojan, there was a time when I'm like, whoa, a lot of Adderall around here.
Y'all went to USC?
Yeah, fight on. Everyone was eating a ton of Adderall. Yeah. And I just kept thinking to myself, like, we keep introducing things that have not been around that long, and then we keep taking it.
Consuming it.
Like, in abundance. And then we keep wondering why people get more diseases, not less. Mm. I don't know.
That is, I mean, USA, abundance. USA. It's like what
United
we're
States
all about.
Adderall, girl. That's exactly.
Yeah, I don't know why. But I just, none of that stuff makes me feel good, so I never did it.
None of what stuff?
And taking any
Adderall?
Of that stuff.
The vape pens?
No, the Adderall.
Adderall has, theoretically, hypothetically.
Hypothetically, if I've ever taken it, I would
metaphorically.
Say.
Metaphorically speaking, Adderall would help you with your studies.
Right.
Like, that, it wouldn't be like, I'm going to take this to feel really good. It would be like, I've got to jam out all these
papers. I
got to
be up.
Yeah.
Let me get focused here.
Okay, but someone told me, isn't Adderall essentially just prescription speed? Mm-hmm. Isn't that kind of what happened to like what Carlton and God, what's her name from Saved by the Bell?
Jesse Spano.
Jesse, I'm so excited. I'm so scared.
Classic episode.
That is my favorite.
I'm so scared.
That was some acting.
Are you guys ready for this? Are you ready for this?
Always.
No. Speaking of being scared, that Ghostbusters trailer.
Hey, transition, girl.
Roxy,
well done.
I've
that
been
was good.
Told that when I call out my transitions, they're not as smooth.
Yeah.
But
that was
I don't
pretty
care.
Smooth. That was pretty
smooth. That was smooth.
Yeah.
Let's talk
yeah.
Ghostbusters, guys, because that trailer dropped this morning. I didn't know this was coming.
Me either.
I didn't either.
Okay.
It was just thrown at us.
I don't know anymore. Are all trailers pre-announced at this point? Because the Wonder Woman one was pre-announced and this one wasn't. I was like, nobody told me this was dropping this morning. Kind of a wild trailer in a very spooky tone.
Very unexpected tone.
Yeah. Very little Stranger Things.
Sure.
I've seen
Summer's
that.
Summer's my favorite.
It's like I can't even talk about
Vigo's
it. Vigo's
okay. What?
When this plays, I can't do anything but dance.
I know, I fucking love it.
But this was not the tone of the trailer at all. The trailer went
Spooky dookie.
Yeah, it felt it felt like...
Jesus, I forgot about your catchphrases, man.
If something can rhyme,
miss her, though.
I did miss her.
If something can rhyme, I rhyme it. Mm-hmm. That's the rule.
Rock, I understand. I understand you're like a pastor at a church trying to connect with the youths by doing the hip-hop and the raps.
Yo.
Lee Happ
My name
same,
is Roxy,
know?
And I'm here to say Spooky Dookie Ghostbusters in a major way.
I love that.
Fire. Yeah.
That was the standard white people rap.
She dropped that fat beat,
literally,
my brother.
Roxy's new theme song that you just came up with.
Top fire, dialogue.
She's going to add it to her Twitter bio now. Wonderful. Well done, Winston.
I also like starting with the here to say thing. It's a good little...
But anyway, so Ghostbusters, guys.
Jeez.
That's you.
Did you guys feel like, this is how I felt. I was like, wait, this is completely not the tone of the original. And at first I was like, that's weird, but also not a problem. Maybe it's good that it's different. But it kind of felt like Super 8 meets Stranger Things a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, literally Stranger Things.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. Yeah.
Well, I mean, also, you know, Finn. But I don't know. I mean, I thought the whole Egon, like, homage... like the door, that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I'm excited. I think it's weird. I don't know if they're going to go with more like family oriented, which kind of scares me a little bit. I'm like, I hope it still keeps like the Venkman type humor
in
there.
Did it feel more family oriented to you, this trailer did?
It did. But that's just, you know me, I like the rated R stuff. So how did you feel, Mark, as a fellow Ghostbusters nerd?
Yeah, I absolutely adored it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it was something about it's almost like they knew that we're gonna get you in the nostalgia feels with this one. Right. We're gonna set it up this way, and I think that we're gonna, as it starts to unfold and we see more footage from this, and especially see the movie, I think we're gonna probably get more of that Ghostbusters vibe, because towards the end of that trailer, it started to get a little bit Ghostbusty, right? Yeah. It started to feel that way.
Ghostbusty.
Yeah. So I
because it's a must see.
It is. This is a must see for me.
No. It's okay.
You'll just keep dropping those.
No, I know, but this is going to happen all morning, isn't it?
Yes. And
good
I want you
morning.
To call her
good
out
morning.
Every single time. We've missed you here on Collider Live, dude. So I need you to call it out every time.
Every time.
How are you feeling about the trailer?
I mean, it's good. I always like kind of like Ghostbusters. It wasn't like my top franchise for me. It was Ninja Turtles like nonstop all day, every day. So, but I still, I mean, you can't beat... Paul Rudd in anything, so that ought to be fun. Was that why he was on SNL, or does he have something out right now and I just don't remember?
I don't know. He
Living
like,
With Yourself.
It's been out for like, what, 2 months?
I don't think it did as well as they wanted it to,
which
maybe.
No, it's a good show.
Yeah, it was an excellent show. Yeah. I don't actually know why he was. I'm with you that he, to me, makes things.
Yeah.
If he's in a project, I want to see it more 10 out of 10 times. I liked how seriously he was taking this role.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's throughout the entire movie, but it seemed like he was pretty deadpan through a lot of that.
I feel like
Oh, no. I was just going to ask Roxy, as like not like a huge Ghostbusters nerd like us, like do you have any interest in watching this movie, watching the trailer?
Yeah, I guess. Because
well done, trailer.
Mostly because
job.
I'm not going to not see it.
Right.
So the trailer.
But that's because it's your job, though, to
right.
see them.
The trailer didn't push me towards it. It lacked humor in a way that disappointed me slightly. I won't lie.
Yeah.
I thought that this was going to be a little campier.
Yeah.
That it was going to be a little more upbeat, a little more fun, a little less we're competing in the actual horror genre right now.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it's one trailer.
Exactly.
So maybe they were just trying to shake things up, jar us a little bit. That worked. And I'm interested in the move to a different city storyline. I'm interested in the we found grandpa's old stuff storyline. Sure.
It's the stance, right? Yeah. Is that the family?
That's what I was wondering. I was just going to put it to you, Ghostbusters nerd. Is it the stance or is it Egon?
I don't know.
I feel like it's Egon.
Well, I mean, that would
sure.
make sense because he's the one that we don't have. Right.
Right. Because so, they kind of alluded to, you know, obviously grandpa and all these things, but, you know, it felt like the passing of Grandpa.
Yeah.
So that's why they're there. And, we know that Bill Murray's in it. Dan Aykroyd's in it. Sigourney Weaver's in it. We can't have Harold Ramis. So I feel like it's going to be Grandpa Egon.
That makes sense.
I also just appreciate, just back to the whole Paul Rudd thing. I mean, obviously you're going to have Aykroyd and Murray. But, like, I remember, like, that was peak Bill Murray when that movie came out. So to have Paul Rudd, who really is kind of, like, hitting, like, his fever pitch right now. I mean, he's obviously been a little bigger at one point, but he's still hot right now. I feel like it's good to have a comedic giant like that in this movie for sure. Like, and he is taking it seriously, but I'm sure he'll be Paul Rudd.
Yeah, no, you're right. Because one of the biggest reasons why I love the original Ghostbusters so much is the chemistry between the main guys, right? Yeah. Like how they joke with each other all the time. Like, that's what I missed in this trailer, so I hope it's somehow there. I don't know how they're going to do it, but yeah.
Just a side note, you said peak Bill Murray. I don't know if Bill Murray's ever valleyed. To me, he stays peaked.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's ever a decade, a year, a Bill Murray version where I'm feeling anything other than he's at the top of his game.
To your point, too, Bill Murray, like Ghostbusters, and then all of a sudden you get Lost in Translation, Rushmore. My God. I mean, he went above and beyond.
Yeah. And of course, Roxy, and you skipped
going.
Over the whole 90s. Groundhog Day, correct.
I was going to say for half a second, I was like, so you're saying he stayed peak, except you skipped 20 years before you mentioned another movie.
Right. But I go to when he reinvented his career with Lost in Translation.
Fair, yes.
Where it all of a sudden you're like, he deserves an Oscar?
And he can do everything, because he's Bill Murray. And Peter Venkman was my favorite when I was a kid.
Did y'all see the
second Zombieland? That's why I'm kind of a little asshole. What?
Did you see Double Tap?
No, I didn't see it. Was it good?
Oh, my God. He's back in it, and it's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, oh, my God.
Again, trailing off, but speaking of things that I haven't talked about that I've seen, are any of you guys watching the Harley Quinn animated show?
Yes, the best show on TV.
I watched one cartoon, one episode, and I loved it.
I've seen the whole thing. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Yo, I don't know whether I was in a dick-ass mood or what, but I watched the first episode like a month and a half ago because they DC, I had all the episodes now. And I was like, that's good. It was pretty good. And then I just moved on with my day. Didn't watch anymore. I, this week, watched 1 and 2. This show is fire.
Kite Man.
Hell yeah. He showed up finally.
Calendar Man. Calendar Man for the win. Like, this show, when people say, when we're talking Birds of Prey being R-rated, and I said I like to see an R-rated Harley, and the internet lost it on me and was like, why do you need an R-rated Harley? Harley's great, whatever rated. She doesn't need it. Suicide Squad, man.
No.
They all talk like Jason Mewes.
I kind of went into like a surfer boy after Troll. Not sure why that happened, but it's because of this. She is, her and Poison Ivy together in this.
We're incredible.
It's fire.
Who are the voices?
Okay, it's Hayley Coco as Harley, and it's Lake Bell as Poison Ivy, who Lake Bell is, like, to me, the funniest, most beautiful person on the planet. Obsessed with her. I don't know who does the other.
Well, Frank the Venus Flytrap is J.B. Smoove, and he's
That's epic.
He's so funny in it. But Juan Carlos Esposito, it plays Lex Luthor. He comes up later, which is really cool.
Oh, shit.
Gotta watch.
That's my Lex Luthor. That's awesome.
Alan Tudyk plays Joker. He's absolutely killing it.
That makes sense.
I mean, that's the thing about DC, man. They've always had great animated stuff, no matter what, since I was a kid.
To me, I will say, I know we've got stuff going on with HBO Max, but DC Universe is a must-have app for me right now because of what happened in Titan Season 2. Right. The ending didn't totally stick for me, but in general, it was a really strong season. Doom Patrol is one of the best comic book shows of all time.
Good.
And now with Harley, I get that the Swamp Thing had its own issues, but other than that, like, they're knocking it out of the park and underrated right now.
I completely agree with you, but I think that was the problem, is that it's, you're really only going to catch, obviously, like, the nerds part of this, and I think that's why they were suffering so much, is because everybody needs, like, Hulu and Netflix and now Disney Plus, so then trying to get people outside of, like, the nerddom to get into the service, I think that's why they're trying to roll it in HBO Max. Like, they just couldn't.
That totally makes sense, though, because then you get two big things want, right? Which is what I would want to do. Because the only app I honestly like paying for is Spotify. That's
it.
That's the one I'm like, I'm not wasting money because I'm listening to music all the time.
Yo,
Apple Music, yeah.
I was so jealous of everybody's Spotify thing.
I was too.
Why don't you? What do you guys have?
We have Apple Music, so there's no like, this is what you were listening to.
No, everybody's posting their stuff. I'm looking at it. I'm like, what? But what am I listening to?
Did you see this?
You're all like, what are you listening to? Music too.
I do too. A lot of hours.
Do you want me to do it for you? Apple Music.
I don't think that's how it works.
No, I know.
No,
but it is the best discovery tool when it comes to music. I have discovered so many bands through there that I've actually have gone to concerts in LA because of it.
Like, Cody digs what you just said.
Cody's
down. I've been quiet the whole show, but I'll sit here and speak up for Spotify Discover Weekly.
Are you quiet because you're tired, Cody, from the weekend?
No. Full disclosure, guys, we'll be transparent with you. So before the show, we were having some audio issues. Yeah. We forgot what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short, we think Alex's MacBook charger is like a parasite that's fucking up all the outlets back
here.
Because we plugged into the one that was next to the computer, and the show like dipped out for a second.
Oh,
so
shit.
So we're trying to figure some shit out. It's creepy.
Unreal.
Damn. That's Alex, cool. Where did you get it? Did you get it at like a witch store?
Christian Harloff gave it to him. How weird.
Yeah, unbelievable. That is so weird.
Oh, come on, I'm kidding.
Or maybe it's Witch there because you came from the other show.
All right. We're going to send you back as a Trojan horse.
I guess let's go to commercial.
Christian, they figured it out. They figured it out. They found me. They know why I'm here.
I don't know how, but they found me.
Run for it, Marty.
Guys, when we come back, we have a lot to talk about, including that Wonder Woman 84 trailer. And, do we have some guests coming in today?
Yes.
Justin motherfucking Long and Chester coming in. Talking after class. We'll see you guys after this commercial.
My music is on Spotify. Marzonia. Yeah.
What's up, guys? Your boy Dory. What's up, guys? Your boy Dory. What's up, guys? Your boy Dory.
Cause this is what you've waited for. Cause this is what you've waited for.
Oh, yes, Alex. Oh, yes, Alex.
No, 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 no!
My country.
Some good news that happened already.
Yeah.
Cool. You've got some good news that happened already.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Frank.
Oh, yes, Alex. Oh, yes, Alex.
Not right now, Derek!
Shut the fuck up!
Oh!
Wouldn't you like to know, Weather Boy?
Wow.
Who gives a fuck?
You garbage! You are trash!
You better listen, Jack.
All right, guys, we're back on Collider Live as I'm looking at the Golden Globe nominations right now and feeling very confused, flustered, frustrated, all the above.
I'm not surprised ever.
There we go again.
There's been a lot of talk this morning on the internet about these noms, and I kind of was like, I'm sure they're not that bad. And now I'm looking at them wondering where all of my favorite movies of the year are.
I mean,
and they're not really
the big ones is, you know, for best motion picture, whether it's drama or musical comedy, you got Irishman, Joker, Two Popes, Marriage Story, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Knives Out, Dolomite Is My Name, Jojo Rabbit, Rocket Man. All good movies.
So, first
Dolomite
of all,
is
Mark,
my name.
What
wow.
are the chances that you can be shorter?
Okay.
Thank you. In terms of best picture, I'll be totally honest with you guys. I've only seen Joker right now of the dramas.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I have Marriage Story, obviously, and Irishman queued up, and I will be watching both of those. The other two I didn't even know were in the running for best picture, so I guess I'll have to watch those. It's like I've seen over 200 movies this year.
Wow.
Straight yeah. up, I'm watching so many movies. Some are older, some are newer, but I've watched more movies this year than I can possibly say.
Oh.
And how? So best motion picture, musical, or comedy. I've
seen all the comedies.
I've seen every
and
one
I
of
love
those.
Them.
Yeah, I've
I
seen
love all
Once Upon a Time, Knives Out, Dolomite, JoJo, and Rocket Man. They're all great. I'm bummed that Late Night hasn't gotten any recognition this year for anything.
Booksmart should have been there.
Booksmart 100%. Breaking my top five movies of the year. What do you guys think of those? Any picks to win?
I think
probably. I want Marriage Story to win drama, but it'll probably be 1917. As much as I would love to crown Joker, you know how they get about history.
Did you
picks.
Like Joker?
Yeah.
Okay,
I did.
So we don't have to fight about it?
I have my own beefs with it, but right. like I think it's a very good movie. I think it's a very, very good movie. And if
I'm
I had,
happy it got nominated.
Right? And if I have to pick musical comedy, I would probably go
JoJo.
I would want Knives Out or Dolomite, but it'll probably be Rocket Man would be my guess.
So if you're going to end your sentence, though, with it would have to go, you can't say anything other than JoJo. Do you get it yet or no?
No, God damn it. Oh, she's still rhyming. Okay.
She's rhyming.
So to be clear.
All right.
Riley, any winner?
You know, I'm like you. I haven't seen a number of these. So for certain, you know, I have my favorites. I've heard really great things about Knives Out.
It's fucking great.
Dying to see it. It's amazing.
It's awesome, but I don't think it's better than JoJo, okay. Dolomite, or I think it's third on my list, probably there.
Rocket Man, I adore. I love that movie, so I'm glad it's really, really.
You love Bohemian Rhapsody.
I do love Bohemian Rhapsody.
See,
Rocket Man's way better.
Yeah,
oh
my god, Bohemian Rhapsody is not.
I thought Bohemian Rhapsody is a lifetime movie compared to Rocket Man.
I feel the opposite.
That is correct. I'm
really?
With you,
because I haven't seen Rocket Man yet. That's crazy.
Rocket Man is across the universe light. It was
No.
I am shocked you like that movie.
Oh, yeah. No, I loved it.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Is it just because of the booty?
No, I mean, that was pretty nice, you know. I always like the booty, but
you didn't like how they weaved in his music?
No, I didn't.
That's exactly
what I didn't like.
Didn't
like
that. God, it got me right in the feels.
Oh, yeah. I thought. I need a booty. Good song.
What is this? This is great.
It's amazing. You haven't been here for our booty song?
No, I've not been here for the booty song.
You were here quite a bit, so that I can't believe we didn't play this one.
No, all we played was Zubily Zoo.
Yeah, fuck.
Hey!
Cody's having it on.
It wasn't cute. That's fine.
It'll come. Yeah, there it is.
K I just reached out about it.
Okay, well, can we go?
We gotta go to Cats. I've got a ton of I'm going to see a ton of stuff this week, guys. There's so many movies at the end of the year. I do fucking suck sometimes. All right, let's go. Cody, you can come
with anything. Okay, but wait. So Parasite got nominated good. Yeah. For foreign language, even though it should win.
Farewell should beat Parasite 10 out of 10 times. Okay.
No, Farewell is incredible,
they're both so good.
Parasite's good. Farewell is unbelievable.
You got that in the exact opposite order.
No, I'm
yes.
right.
Farewell is. First of all. First
you
of all,
sounded
first
so
of all.
Confident.
Yeah. She really did.
That's why.
No,
really did.
I'm actually right about. Wow. I'm right about the best movie. I know all movie things. You Fair. Guys know.
I saw 200 movies this year.
Just hang me up now. Hang me up now.
All right.
I didn't see Pain and Glory, Portrait of a Lady, or Les Mis.
I hear they're all amazing. What's best director? I want to see those. Martin Scorsese. Quentin Tarantino, Sam Mendes, Bong Joon-ho should win, and Todd Phillips. Man, if they give it to Todd Phillips, the internet's going to go crazy.
I think that Todd Phillips deserves to win this.
I really hope that Todd Phillips doesn't get it.
I think it'd be really funny if he does, and that's what I kind of want.
Right. So
Again with this.
Okay. 200.
Right. Didn't play as well the second time?
No. The callback did not work.
Oh, bummer. I'm still working on the callback timing. I hear like 3 pages is the maximum you're supposed to go.
3 pages.
Best screenplay, motion picture, Once Upon a Time, Marriage Story, Two Popes. Have any of you guys seen Two Popes?
No.
Alex?
Sorry, what?
Two Popes?
I have not seen Two Popes. I'm seeing it probably this week.
Alex must know. What were you doing when I asked that question?
What were we discussing?
We were talking about the screenplay for Marriage Story and whether or not it was nomination worthy. We're talking
How is your guys' conversation going?
It's pretty fun.
You guys are having a separate Golden Gloves come.
Yeah, we really should record our separate show while we're doing this.
Thank you, Thad.
You want to know what? I would watch it.
I watch the playback from time to time. Y'all just be putting the camera on yourself and someone talking about something important. Just be like, look at me. I'm Alex.
It's actually a dead ringer for what they do. Best performance by an actress in a motion picture, guys.
There we go.
Let's talk Renee Zellweger. That seems crazy. Charlize Theron, Saoirse Ronan, Cynthia Erivo, Scarlett Johansson.
Who would you guys pick? That's crazy.
I'm between, although I have not.
You see Bombshell.
Bombshell's amazing, and it's, I think the embargo's up right now. What's today? The 9th?
Monday.
Yeah.
It's the 9th.
What time is it?
9.
I don't know what time the embargo is up.
I've seen reviews out already.
You have?
Yeah.
This morning?
Go, Roxy, go.
Are you positive?
Yes.
Go.
Yo, Bombshell is the number one best movie of the year.
Okay.
This movie's incredible. And when I saw Judy, I said, this is a wrap. Give Renee Zellweger the Oscar. But then I saw Bombshell, and I have to say, I've never been this torn. Charlize Theron, this is as good a performance as Monster was.
Whoa.
She is.
Really?
In the opening VO, I won't tell you what she says, but it's opening VO with Charlize, and she is Megyn Kelly. What she does with her vocal cord is unbelievable. I've never heard somebody be able to drop an octave like that, but not sound like you're putting on a voice. It's incredible. There is stuff going on with her face. I'm sure that there's some like prosthetic-y stuff happening there because of what they do with her facial structure. She looks like her. But the way that she moves, everything she does. Margot Robbie was amazing in the movie as well. But Bombshell, to me, I fist pumped so hard. I related. I connected. I wanted to cry for them. And then also was so empowered by the end of the movie. It felt like there was fire in the room. This movie is amazing. I don't know why it's getting some buzz, but it's not getting the buzz that it deserves right now. This is the best picture of the year.
Damn. I've never seen you more excited over a movie before.
Yo, it is so
like
good.
Literally never. This is impressive.
Which also is ever. I ruined it? Guys, so! Bombshell's best.
Hold on. You're the producer, right?
Yeah.
I need you to stop this. I'm going to keep saying Zoobly Zoo.
Oh, shit. Ah!
I need you to stop
this.
Roxy? Zoobly Zoo all the way. Yeah.
Can you come every day?
Every day.
Yeah. I'll just go ahead and change the subject real quick to go back to this. Why is Tom Hanks nominated for supporting...
They probably.
Did you see the movie?
I haven't seen the movie.
Because he's a supporting actor in it.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's not really
Matthew Reese is the lead actor in it.
put you in your place, Mark.
Ooh, damn.
Yeah.
You guys really told me. I'll tell you what.
Let's get to it, but
because he's not the fucking main actor in the fucking movie.
How dare I assume Tom Hanks playing Mr. Rogers is starring in the movie about Mr. Rogers?
Okay, hold on. That's good. I couldn't remember if I was allowed to swear on this because when I do sports time, I'm not allowed to fucking say fucking not a goddamn shitty fucking thing.
You know
thing.
What makes fucking you want to say man. Fuck more than anything? Huh. Sports.
Yeah. A lot.
Especially yesterday.
The Cowboys make me want to say fuck all the time.
With those motherfucking Patriots. Yesterday.
Yeah. It makes us really happy. We
That's
love
not
you,
an octave you're supposed
we're
to
happy.
Hit. Okay?
We love you, but we're happy.
Yeah.
We're happy.
What's
up with what you're doing?
We're happy.
Were you fucking?
I don't know.
Were you fucking the
Patriots?
I think
Patriots?
I was.
Was
like,
I think I was fucking the table. I was so
we
happy.
Love you, but we're happy.
I was humping the table.
Jesus.
I was so happy that they suck. It's like, Patriots suck. You know?
He didn't even know you were doing it. He's sitting there like, I couldn't let it go.
I mean, with that soundbite, it just is perfect. It really ties the room together.
Oh, God. I don't want to even say anything after that because the last time I said something after that was some sexual thing towards Alex that you guys clipped out.
Can we please show Wince, Alex?
That sounds hilarious. What was
yeah,
this?
Listen to
Alex. Oh, yes, Alex. Oh, yes, Alex.
Okay. Here's the actual thing about that that's very weird for me. So my middle name is Alex, and that's what people that I'm really close to call me. So that's it is a little weird for me.
So
but
it's you're feeling it.
I'm just like it just
literally can't look at me.
I can't look at you for a second.
No,
just
no, look at her while look at her while she's saying it. Look at her.
Oh yes, Alex.
Jesus Christ.
It puts me
in a similar kind of like confused mind state when I kept explaining to Roxy I could tell when the callers were black. She's like, can you really tell if they're black callers?
But you want to know what you did to me?
What?
Now every time a caller
comes in, you always think?
But you know what I can't do?
You can't ask. You can't ask.
Because and it doesn't effing matter. But right. Now I'm like, can incredible. I tell?
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah?
I cannot tell. How do you, would you think that this person was black? Oh, yes, Alex.
No. Not at all. Not at all. No.
No, but Filipino, though.
Maybe.
But anyway, so Golden Globes.
Yeah. What do you got, Mark?
Another interesting thing. The Golden Globes have settled the debate for The Lion King. Did you see this?
No.
Lion King nominated for Best Animated.
Fuck off.
Woo!
Sorry. I'm sorry.
It technically is animated, though.
No, it's not.
But everybody's been talking, is it live action or animated? And the Golden Globe said, fuck you, it's animated.
It's technically animated.
And
let's see.
Shouldn't be nominated, just period. Just get it off
so
there.
So it's Frozen 2, Toy Story 4, How to Train Your Dragon, Hidden World,
that should win.
Missing Link, and The Lion King. What's Missing Link?
Missing Link was Hugh Jackman.
It's the Laika movie.
Yeah, the Laika movie.
Yes.
All right.
Hugh Jackman and Zach Galifianakis.
So I saw all the other ones. Mm-hmm. No, that's not true. I didn't see Frozen.
Why is it all Disney shit? There's other animated stuff that's better.
How
probably.
To Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World needs to win all the awards.
It was fine.
Yeah. Oh, Roxy.
I would give it to Toy Story.
Because they've already given it to Toy Story. Yeah. It's fine.
Toy Story was great.
It was good.
It was good.
But I don't know.
Did you guys plan that shit?
No. Thank God we're on the same page here. This is why the best.
This is why what? Oh.
The best.
Mm-hmm. I just... Ooh. Can you scroll up a little bit, Alex? I want to see the score. Sorry, other way. Down is what I meant.
No. Jennifer Lopez, go back.
Well, that's good too, but yeah.
She
did not get nominated. Hustlers didn't get any nominations.
No, she did. Jennifer Lopez did.
Yeah, she did.
Supporting role.
Constance Wu did.
So, in a supporting role by an actress, it's Jennifer Lopez, Laura Dern, Margot Robbie, Kathy Bates, Annette Bening. I still have to see Marriage Story, apparently.
Talk about a bunch of witches. Good for them.
Yeah. Margot Robbie was amazing. She has one scene in Bombshell, guys, that had me, like, sobbing on the floor.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
She has one scene that is so... She is very... I need to do more research. I don't know if her character in the movie... I don't know her character in the movie. Okay. The other ones, I know who they are. Her, I do not.
Okay.
She reminds me a lot of Tammy Lauren, mm-hmm. the actual, like...
Tammy Lauren? Tammy?
Right.
We always change her name. But yeah. All the trolls change her name.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Tammy? The trolls call her Tammy.
the way she speaks, I call her Becky. But her name is not
I call
Tommy.
Her Karen.
Yeah. Hey.
Why do you guys call her Karen?
It was a brown moment. Just let it happen. It's okay.
Shit. Always trying to butt in on the brown moments.
Tammy Well done, Roxy.
What do you guys think about best performance by an actor in a motion picture, musical, or comedy? Leonardo DiCaprio, Eddie Murphy, Daniel Craig, Taron Egerton, Roman Griffin Davis.
Ooh.
Good for Those Roman are... Griffin Davis.
I love that Eddie Murphy was nominated.
Me too.
I really do. Because Dolomite is one of my favorites of the year. So
it was his comeback role,
really
for sure.
Was.
Yeah. Daniel Craig was fantastic. Taron, much better than Rami Malek. As
Taron was excellent. Taron was excellent.
Okay, all right.
What about drama for actors? There we go. Joaquin, Christian Bale, Antonio Banderas, Jonathan Pryce, Adam Driver.
I mean, I think this is a dead winner for Joaquin, right?
Yeah. I don't know, man. Christian is. It's going to be a hard fought campaign. Joaquin will probably win it, but Christian did an incredible job.
If the Joker's going to win any awards, it's going to be for actor for sure.
Probably.
I'm stoked.
And score. I think it'll get. Score.
I hope it better.
Yeah. I'm pretty stoked that Awkwafina was nominated for The Farewell for best performance by an actress in the motion picture, musical, or comedy, but also in this. Category, Beanie Feldstein for Booksmart. So
oh, good.
At least a little bit of love there. Nice. And Emma Thompson for Late Night. Ana de Armas for Knives Out.
Also amazing Kate in
Blanchett
the movie.
Kate for Where'd You Go, Bernadette. I did not see that movie. I feel like Alex did.
Nope.
But I did see Pain and Glory, and I wanted to butt in about that. Pain and Glory is one of my favorite movies
like
of the year.
45 minutes ago.
Antonio Banderas.
That's a new Almodovar, right?
Yes, it is.
Yes. Yeah, I really want to see that. See.
I'm sorry. Say it again. That's the new
Almodovar. Si. How do you say it in English?
Oh. Almodovar? What?
Almodovar. Pedro Almodovar?
Almodovar?
Alex, what is she saying?
Pedro Almodovar.
That one.
Oh, it's a person.
Yeah. So it's a legendary director from Spain. Yeah. He did...
Let the hate come in. I didn't know. I'm sorry.
It's all good. You're fine. No, I'm just telling
didn't
you who he is because then you can see his movies.
Did you see 200 movies this year?
I really feel like I have seen 5,000 movies this year.
Yeah.
And this week I'm fair. Seeing... Jumanji, tonight I'm seeing, what are we seeing tomorrow, D?
Richard Jewell.
The new
Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, Thursday I'm seeing Little Women, which you
I already, saw already and
checked
I,
out.
And I that's usually not my cup of tea, and I loved it.
And I'm trying to see Uncut Gems this week also, because I hear that's bomb.com.
Yeah.
Nominations for Golden Globes.
Do you think that he's going to take a hit in his Oscar campaign because he didn't get the Golden Globe nomination?
Golden Globes are very different than Oscars usually, though.
They are, but just kicking off the award season, you know? Like, I mean, I guess technically the Emmys did that, but you know what I mean? Like, that this is kind of like a front runner for, like, movies to figure out how people are going to go. I was just curious if you guys felt that this would affect it at all.
Yeah, it's a good indicator, I'll always say, with Golden Globes. So I am surprised. I've heard nothing but good things about Adam Sandler and the buzz, so surprise. I would think Golden Globes would be the place he'd get the nomination.
So for the Oscars...
Can we look at the TV really quick, though? Sorry. I just want to see the
Succession.
Drama. There we go.
Jesus.
Wait, okay.
were you gonna bring up another category?
Yes.
Roxy? Oh, go ahead.
I was just talking... It's fine. Let's move to TV shows.
I want to know what you had to say.
What I was going to say was of the movies that were nominated for drama or musical comedy, we've got 10 of them. We've got 10 spots for the Oscars. How many do you guys think are actually going to be nominated for Oscars?
Like... 7 or 6.
I think Irishman and Once Upon a Time. If I'm going down the list right now, I think Parasite because I haven't seen it yet.
But that's not nominated here. Which of these do you think is going to be nominated?
Did they make a ruling on whether or not you can do Netflix
director,
movies
sorry.
As Best Picture or not? Because I know they were debating.
I think you can.
Okay. Then
because they had releases in theaters.
Yeah. Okay.
Briefly.
Okay. Probably Irishman, Joker. 1917 because of Hollywood and Marriage Story. I think that's it.
Okay, so you think none of the musical or comedy category are going to be nominated?
Maybe Rocketman, but that would be it. That would be the only one, I think. I like all the rest of them.
I could see Little Women be nominated in some of these, as well as, what's it called?
Bombshell will.
In terms of these, I think that Rocketman doesn't get nominated. I think Dolomite doesn't get nominated. I think Knives Out doesn't get nominated. I think Two Popes doesn't get nominated.
What's coming? There's a huge one coming out on Christmas. My brain's not working.
Cats.
Yeah.
No. God damn it, no.
Star Wars?
No, but they won't get nominated, I don't think. No.
Little Women. Coming on Christmas.
I have a feeling that Endgame might. They're not going to win, but I think they'll get a nomination.
For Best Picture?
Yeah,
maybe.
I think so.
Wow.
It's,
okay.
It's the same way that Avatar did, which I never thought it should have. And
but the Oscars always go for like the traditional directors. Like they're going to nominate Scorsese, Tarantino.
Sure.
Like all those movies are definitely going to be.
There's a list of the Christmas movies.
Okay, so it's the Just Mercy. I think Just Mercy will get one too.
Hmm.
That was the other one that I kept seeing popping up that I think will be.
Do you guys, that's the Michael B.
Do you guys
Jordan
think
one,
that
right?
Parasite, Farewell, Peanut Butter Falcon, which we love, that's right. getting buzz, but nobody's picking it up right now.
Parasite. I think Parasite will. I think there's enough critical acclaim that it'll do it. It obviously did okay, not great at the box office here, but that's just because, you know, foreign film, a lot of people.
It's going to be the superhero movies are playing in all of the theaters. Mm. That's why.
Like you said, Dee, let's go to the TV shows for a second. For a musical or comedy, Barry, Politician, Fleabag, Kaminsky Method, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I've watched all of those except for The Politician. And if I had to give it to somebody for this last season, I'd give it to Fleabag.
Fuck yeah, you would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fleabag's
I agree.
There and on there.
Just pissed off.
And
Doom
then right there for Barry.
Yeah, me too. Doom Patrol is but they don't get recognized at all.
What's up there for drama?
For drama, it's The Crown, The Morning Show, Succession, Big Little Lies, and Killing Eve.
Who has Apple TV Plus?
Pretty surprising to me that The Morning Show got nominated for this, although it does have massive stars in it. Succession is the best of the best right now. I'd be hard pressed for them not to give it to Succession.
I'm surprised Mr. Robot's not nominated.
I'm also surprised that Watchmen isn't nominated.
Right.
It must not have been eligible.
Do you have
so
to be done with
year?
Your season?
I guess.
Is that what it is?
There's no way that it's not nominated in any of these categories. Mm-hmm.
It's got to be for them next year.
Can I say I'm very happy that Game of Thrones is not? Like,
yeah.
I'm very happy.
I'm pretty crushed about that. I think that they definitely deserve that nom.
No, they do for
not
the actors.
Yeah. The actors and the way
show.
It looked.
I
like production
season.
Stuff should have been nominated. But
I loved the season.
She did.
I loved it.
She wrote an article about it.
Many articles. Yeah. I did. I loved it. Best performance by an actor in a television
in
series. Gin.
that's what I thought. Without a beat. Let's go. That was some great timing.
Yeah.
Oh,
that was really
fire.
Good.
That was
so
fire.
Good.
Without
gin. And then like gin.
I'm in advanced at Groundlings.
Okay. I'm starting to get her. I'm so excited.
Awesome. Best performance by an actor in television series drama, Brian Cox for Succession, Tobias Menzies for The Crown, Billy Porter, Pose, Kit Harington, Game of Thrones, Rami Malek, Mr. Robot.
Mr. Robot.
This is a really, really tough category. Really tough category. Do you guys think they give it to Kit Harington as like a
No, I think they're going to give it to Brian Cox personally.
I have to see Succession. I don't know.
All right, for actress in a television series drama, Jennifer Aniston, Olivia Colman, Jodie Comer, Nicole Kidman, Reese Witherspoon.
Nicole Kidman was amazing in Big Little
Lies.
She was
excellent.
Like that role, I think, is one of the most complex roles she's ever played.
I think she deserves it.
I think I the emotional stuff she went through, like that, I was very impressed with her. But I love Olivia Colman.
I was
going to
say, without context of The Morning Show or The Crown, I can't really guess, but I knowing Big Little Lies and Killing Eve, I go Jodie Comer.
I'm pretty excited about these for actress in musical or comedy. Rachel Brosnahan, or if you're Tiffany Haddish, Rachel Brahaha. Kirsten Dunst, Christina Applegate, Natasha Lyonne, and Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Wild about this because I think that Phoebe Waller-Bridge actually will probably take this one home.
I think so, too.
Which would be pretty freaking exciting.
Which, come on, man. Fantastic actress, fantastic writer, fantastic director. Give us some.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we all suck compared to her. She's so cool. Anyways.
Give us some. Sure. Best performance by... I feel that.
There's Cody.
Best performance by an actor in a television series, musical or comedy. Michael Douglas, Bill Hader, Ben Platt, Paul Rudd, Rami Youssef. Paul Rudd, Living With Yourself. I'm surprised by that nom. He was excellent, though.
He was absolutely excellent. As a matter of fact, they just reminded me because we just went off of actresses. Again, no love for Doom Patrol. I thought God, Diane Guerrero deserves. Oh my God, oh,
yeah. She was great. But I think April Balbi is the
stuff. So?
Yeah, mm. I do because I think that Diane's getting set up for failure sometimes with just how many times they're making her switch and how little we get to spend with any of the different personalities.
That's fair. But I guess
the
for
show's
me,
amazing.
The fact that on a dime she can flip through those, it reminds me so much of oh God, I'm just tired today. James McAvoy. Doing
a bunch split.
Thank you.
Yeah, a bunch of people in the chat are saying that Watchmen is eligible. I'm not sure if that's true, but that's what they're saying.
That can't be true.
That would be crazy.
But what's also crazy right now is for best limited series. I'm looking at this. It's Loudest Voice, Chernobyl, Unbelievable, Fosse Verdon, Catch 22. Was When They See Us not eligible
it was,
or not
no, it
nominated.
Wasn't nominated?
Everyone's
one of the major snubs.
Yeah.
But are you fucking on crack?
What?
Yeah, that's insane.
Yep.
That's insane.
It is not only the best limited series of the year, it's the number one best show of the year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's the best thing that was on television all year.
Yeah, that is.
When they
that
see
went
the,
awful.
The Golden Globes did not nominate When They See Us
Associated
for best
foreign
limited
press,
series.
Right?
What?
Associated Foreign Press, right? The Golden Globes.
Hollywood Foreign Press.
They did not nominate When They See Us. Is that real that's yep. eligible and it was not nominated?
That's what Twitter is yelling about.
Then I actually don't want to watch.
Yeah.
Like, I know that all
are
of a sudden
are you boycotting?
Crazy.
Should we start a petition
well,
to boycott
it's,
the Golden Globe?
It's not that. It's just so clear that you didn't see it.
Yeah.
Then you didn't watch because it is – if it lost, which is stupid because it is the best. But to not nominate it, to put all of these other shows on there and not nominate it, you're blind.
Yep.
100%.
That's fucking disgusting.
100%. But that's what I was saying as far as, like, I'd be more curious to see how the Oscars handle it.
Right.
And not nominated for a performance either?
Nope.
Well, what
nope,
do you
nope.
mean?
Wow.
Is the Oscars nominated in that type of stuff? I guess.
It's technically, I believe, considered like a docu-series or something like that. I think they can get an Oscar nom.
Really?
I might be wrong on that one, but I think double check.
Wow.
Because it kind of fits under a weird category.
For Jarrell
of
Jerome
both,
to not be nominated for this either.
I agree.
I mean,
so that's your biggest snub, Roxy, for sure.
That's insane. Like, yeah, that's not just a snub. That's egregious.
Yeah.
Because it is so clearly the best.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's the Golden Globes for you. They always do shit
but
like this.
But do you see that? That's what's kind of crazy because, what, no Watchmen and no this? You're
I
talking
don't
feel
about like Watchmen's not eligible.
It really is. People are talking about how that was snubbed, too. And I think that's what this
You're
sounds...
telling me that Regina King, Watchmen, all everything's
well,
eligible.
And everything that's being talked about
and the
in
episodes,
that.
Episodes 6, 7, those
mm-hmm.
are eligible.
Mm-hmm. So, like, that's the thing that's
kind of... I was so excited to talk about this, and now I'm, like, legit livid.
But that's the thing that's kind of weird is that, like, I'm not necessarily even trying to take it there, but that's two major, like, black-focused, like, media projects that are just being completely, like, wiped out.
I don't think you cannot take it there when it's so, like, I mean, that is...
When they're
do
that
you
good.
Think
yeah.
Do you think it's just they're nominating things that people have watched, and that one didn't get as much viewership?
Watchmen
when
is...
When they see
is,
it's got a lot.
So then what the hell?
I don't know.
Yeah,
Watchmen's been doing well, too.
Oh, Watchmen's ratings are huge. So people are watching. Yeah, so here's a bunch of them. Watchmen was completely shut out, so it is eligible.
Good Place didn't get anything. What the hell? Good Place is incredible.
Good Place is amazing. Good Place is incredible, and I love that show, but that's not as ridiculous.
No, I don't disagree with you, but just looking at some of the other stuff that's not on here. But yeah, to not have Watchmen and When They See Us is insane.
Oh
look,
my God!
What right yeah, here? Watchmen is an average of 7.1 million viewers.
It's the most popular new series of the year based on ratings. Oh 7.
My God!
1 million viewers.
Jack Dennis in the chat says Golden Globes officially became a joke when they nominated The Tourist with Jolie and Depp.
That's you are not wrong. You are not wrong. Jack.
I will tell you guys. I watched Chernobyl, and I know that that's. It seemed to be Chernobyl and When They See Us, people were going back and forth over what was the best, not only limited
Chernobyl
series
has
of this
a good
year,
score.
But of this frickin' decade.
Right.
And Chernobyl was excellent.
Good score.
But When They See Us was better.
Right.
It was better. When Chernobyl was excellent.
Do you think that in general, not just the Golden Globes, but the Oscars and every nomination, it's just like... It's just a popularity contest, right? It's like everybody that votes, it's like, oh, I'm friends with like this director, and so I'm going to support his movie. I mean, that's what it is, right?
No, yes. I think that the thing that I think is wild to me is how do you not pay attention to what people were talking about throughout the year?
Because they
do. And like, for example, I was actually – I'm curious. I have to go back and look at the Emmy stuff. I was surprised that like Surviving R. Kelly wasn't brought up.
Right.
Like, because that was some otherworldly shit that people were talking about at the start of the year. But like this Watchmen, it's very weird. It sometimes feels like people just have their head so far up their ass that they just aren't paying attention.
That they didn't see us.
Yeah. Some of these
when they don't see us, that's kind of what's going on here.
Yeah. I know you made that joke. That's sad though. That's
I'm dead serious.
You said that, and I was like, "Fuck, man, you're right." Because I wonder if it's so long. Because I remember doing the Oscars here at Collider. We did our big party and live stream, and I was talking about how much I loved that that series because it came out back in February.
Like March. It was like a month after Surviving R. Kelly. R. Kelly dropped like January, February, and then this came out like February, March.
Because
like
is it like they're so far up their ass that they didn't see it, they forgot about it because it's so
because
far?
Because it's – I mean, same with Jordan Peele's Us.
Yeah, when they didn't see it.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
Thank you, guys.
You're like waiting for it.
Yeah. Groundlings.
Yeah. How you doing, Roxy? You a little bit over? Are you still upset?
I honestly feel like it was it's a waste of time to give these nominations merit if they're going to do something as ridiculous as that.
I mean, I never give any of the nominations merit, but I do have – I treat them as sports. I'm like, oh, yeah, that'd be cool if that one wins because then it's entertaining
for me. Talk to me about what the chat's saying right now. Guys, we're live every single morning, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and I'm curious because I usually don't even
– When They See Us won Emmys. Nobody has more money than Disney, true. The Hollywood politics.
It?
No.
Oh.
Dorina just likes to rag on Disney.
Yeah, it's just because it's funny.
It's not fine. It's not fine. Disney is the best. They pay me money. Disney, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry.
Well, I love you, House Overlord.
I'm so sorry.
Very sorry.
We all know that the Golden Globe noms are about what Hollywood star and the HFPA wants to schmooze with during the ceremony and nothing more.
Why would they not want to schmooze with Ava DuVernay? Like, she is the woman on the rise. She's not even on the rise anymore. She arrived.
You know what?
She arrived. I don't know.
You know what? It's probably because somebody at the Hollywood Foreign Press tried to call Ava DuVernay auntie and she wasn't having that shit.
Oh, that's
and so
true.
Then they were like, you'll never get another nomination from me.
That's
like,
true.
Didn't Natalie Portman actually make fun of it last week? Last year?
Yeah.
Where she was like, I forget who she was presenting with.
Here are the nominees. All male, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Well, that was the other thing. No female directors were nominated. Mm-hmm. That was another thing that people were bringing up.
Well, women can't direct. We all know that.
Did you see the Wonder Woman 1984 trailer?
Let's talk about it right now.
That's a transition for your ass.
That's a transition.
Patty Jenkins in the house, y'all.
Can we play some Blue Monday, Cody? Ooh, no, this is better.
Here's the deal. This was not a trailer. It was a teaser trailer. Again with the teaser trailers. But I'm confused with the labeling.
But it was like a trailer, though.
This was a full-blown music over 2 minute badass storytelling, Steve Trevor appearing, Gal Gadot kicking butt trailer.
Yep.
That's called the teaser trailer. So let's talk about it because people have been nervous about Wonder Woman 1984.
Yes, I have. I've been so nervous.
Why?
There is something about this constant level of like secrecy and postponing and everything else because the DCEU has been a dumpster fire for a while that like I was like, great, Shazam was
to
good.
You. Okay. To other people.
Okay, that's fine. Fine. Look, I refuse
well,
to
let's just clarify.
I refuse to ever say that hashtag that people love to keep bringing up. But if they do eventually do that, I'd be fine with it. But I won't say it. But like I enjoyed Aquaman. I had fun. Wonder Woman was great. Shazam was great. So I kept getting nervous with all of the things that have been going on with it that they kept pushing it back and pushing it back and not telling us what's going on.
Yeah, it didn't
make
sense.
Patty Jenkins said out loud, I'm bummed we pushed it back because it's ready and great.
Yeah.
So that was weird to me, too. It seemed to be more about box office and when they wanted it to lie in their series and movies.
I totally get it. But that was why I was very happy to see this trailer and really enjoy it because
you liked the trailer a lot.
Oh, I loved it.
Good.
Yeah.
Dude, New Order. They played New Order throughout the whole trailer. I was like, well, this trailer's for Dorina. This is great.
It's
true. I can't wait to watch
this
fucking movie.
It's a good
movie.
Song choice, but they should have ended it with Metallica's Ride the Lightning.
So, I mean, that would be pretty good.
Come on, 1984 was when the album came out.
Good point.
It was previously set to release December 13th, 2019, which means we would actually be watching it this weekend.
See, that's bullshit,
and it was moved to November 1st, 2019. So it's looking like it wants more of that November box office that seems to be up and coming, more popular recently.
Right.
And that leftover Thanksgiving jam.
But now, they're making it a summer blockbuster again, which is fine.
Right, and Patty Jenkins said that.
Didn't
she said,
move from November again, though?
Yeah, it's June.
Oh, June.
June next year.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't remember it. Yeah.
She came out. Patty Jenkins said, came out and said, we moved it
so
to the rightful place because it was June of 2017 when the first one came out.
I just feel personally affronted because that could have been a movie for my birthday week, and now instead.
When's your birthday?
Tomorrow.
Oh.
So, but instead.
Hey,
tomorrow's your birthday? What are you doing?
Taking Jay Washington to the DMV. I'm not thrilled about it.
Why?
I'm really not. Because I'm apparently a good friend. I'm not.
You are the best
friend. Funny story. So I already took him the first time, and I thought we would got all this shit done. And I was in the car, like, talking to my manager about some shit, and I get a text from him being like, December 10th. And I was like, oh, he remembered my birthday. Yeah, December 10th. And then he comes out, and he's like, all right, cool. So my actual driving test is set for December 10th, 10 a.m. I said, bitch, what the fuck it is? And he goes, no, that's what I was texting you about. I was like, bro, it's my birthday. He goes, oh, I don't give a fuck about that. I just needed your car. And I was like, oh, god damn it. So that's what I'm doing for my birthday.
Well, he better buy you some food or something.
Oh, he ain't going to buy me shit. I hope you're watching this. Clip this out for me. Clip this all out and put we're saying about to talk shit about Jay Washington.
This is part of our official Wonder Woman trailer review.
So there you go.
Let's talk Wonder Woman, guys.
It's going to be clipped out.
There we go.
The music in this trailer was awesome.
Yes, that remix.
Super duper 80s, super badass, got me right into it off the bat, and set up the tone for this weird, bright, quirky film. Still a little confused on Cheetah. Not sure what we're getting there, if we're getting woman who wears cheetah print stuff and they're just saving for the movie her actually transforming into more cheetah woman-like, or if this is the ultimate cheetah.
Right.
There was also a release, I don't know if you guys saw, of a mug. You know how usually we get things in Lego? This time
like
we got
pops.
It in mug. It was a mug of cheetah, also in cheetah print clothes, not being full-blown cheetah.
Okay.
So there's been questions about whether or not we're going to see that transformation. I think that we probably will.
Oh, yeah,
say cheetah
sure.
again.
Cheetah.
Cheetah.
How are you feeling, Dean?
Oh, I thought you were going to play the Alex thing again. I was like, don't do that.
As someone who
is Alex.
As someone who is, you know, grew up loving superhero movies and definitely feels like we're getting too many of them, I'm just being a nerd asshole about it. I got very excited when I saw this because I obviously very much enjoyed the first one, but I always get scared with sequels because they're usually not as good.
Sure.
But this looks very different than the first one, and that's what's so great. Maybe this is just like a fun sort of like maybe this is like a fun 80s movie, or maybe it's the Winter Soldier of Wonder Woman, which
it
would be pretty awesome. Because Kristen Wiig's amazing. And so she's going to be amazing no matter what. I already loved her in the trailer. It seems like they were maybe starting off as friends, like her character, what's Cheetah's name? Barbara?
Minerva.
Is that what her name is? And so
Do you feel like you like that joke, though, then, with the – you're talking about that friendship at the beginning where she's like, yes, I have fallen in love many times. So that's what you're talking about?
Yeah. I feel like we're getting, like, that vibe of, like, oh, like, they're starting to be friends, but she seems a little, you know, cuckoo and weird and off and, like, we'll see what happens. But I love the fact that it's a good trailer without showing you what the story is so they don't spoil things for me.
Yeah.
Except for, obviously, you know, we already knew – Beautiful Man's coming back.
He was coming back for whatever reason.
That is his full name, yes.
His Beautiful Man?
Yes. Beautiful Man.
Calendar Man, Kite Man, Beautiful Man.
Hell yeah.
I mean, do we not agree that Chris Pine is beautiful?
I do. I'm also have questions for you guys about Chris Pine coming back, though. It seems like similar to in the first Wonder Woman movie where she is seeing all these things of the world and he's kind of explaining to her what it is.
Oh,
the roles are reversed
in
this.
Cool.
So they're talking about artwork and he's at the trash can. can.
Oh my god!
No, that's a trash can.
This movie's gonna be great. It's gonna be Rush Hour 2.
Yes.
Think about this. Being like, don't you ever touch a Chinese man's CD? Man, shut your ass up. Want some mushu? This is literally what we're about to get. Is a complete flip out of LA into Hong Kong. You're going out of his world into hers. This
Which
is
means
great.
That obviously he's been gone up till this point. We see that part of the trailer as well. Do you guys think for sure, what we are seeing is that she has somehow brought back Steve Trevor? Or do you guys think that this is possible in her head, or that only certain people can interact with him? Or
Zeus
that
did it.
So you think it's the gods?
Before he died, he got taken away in the time travel, whatever. We're going to need you in like 40 years. And then boom, there you go.
Patty Jenkins did say that it's not a gimmick. She said that the story did warrant it, that they kind of cracked it and it was an aha moment. Mm-hmm. I'm paraphrasing. There's a great .com article up right now on Collider. Long quote where she says, yeah, it's not a gimmick, basically. It is needed for the story, so I'm interested to see what that means.
Do you think Zeus?
Something like that. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's tied to the villain. Maybe
I was
going to
say Pedro Pascal, who's Maxwell Lord, I believe.
Yeah.
I didn't even recognize him at
Did
first,
not
by
either,
the way.
Yeah.
Because he's been hiding in that mask.
Maniacal AF.
The wig or whatever that was.
That
yeah.
Mandalorian helmet just been hiding him away.
I'm excited for a new Maxwell Lord iteration because the Supergirl one was gone too soon and also didn't fully work. Mm-mm. So both things.
Wah, 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 wah.
Yeah. Well, just you know that when they tell the TV shows, like, actually, we're going to take our characters for the movie. And so they tell weird stories to try to wrap things up. And then they're just gone.
Wow.
It's happened with Amanda Waller. It happened with Deadshot and Deathstroke. Mm-hmm. It didn't happen with The Flash. Unclear why, but
because you can't destroy an entire show just because you want to throw them in.
Yeah.
Justice.
Which, by the way, really quick, the chat is asking about Crisis, if we're going to talk about it at all.
OK, yeah, let's do it. Any more thoughts on Wonder Woman?
Nah.
The trailer. We liked it. We all liked it.
I liked it. I will say this. It's almost time to retire the 80s. All right?
Almost
I
time?
I don't have a problem with that.
Are you getting sick of it?
I'm starting to. At the beginning of this trailer, I was like, here we go, because I just had this Stranger Things vibe again. And right. I was like, but I know what's warranted with this.
But
I think it's time for Hollywood to stop.
90s time. Let's
when
go.
You say that's 90s time, though, Captain Marvel touched that.
And that's what I loved about it.
Good
I know
soundtrack.
A lot of people
90s nails, baby.
Definitely yeah. not the 80s in there. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk a little Crisis. Am I the only one who watched last night's Supergirl
I
Crisis
missed the
part
first
one?
Episode. I just seen the trailer so far.
Do you? Yeah, I didn't okay. watch it.
But are you guys planning on watching
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah,
yes.
yeah. Of course.
Okay. So then I will give a spoiler-free part one of Crisis brief review. It was totally good, but a lot of setup. A lot of setup for things that I don't know are necessarily going to matter. What's challenging is no matter what we do to our characters, we know we're in a multiverse, so we could just bring other versions of those characters into the multiverse. So the stakes right now are incredibly high because if they don't do this, then all of the worlds are gone. But they're also very low because all I'm thinking to myself is, like, we've got 10,000 more of those on backlog. So I thought it was good. It was definitely a solid first Crisis episode. Really fun stuff at the beginning where we see some of the different Earths and we have some cameos of some of the other shows going on, which is cool.
Does it make you want to keep watching for sure?
Yeah, because I've watched 8 years of this.
But I was
going to
say, sure. But if
yeah,
not,
yeah, yeah,
though.
Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm the audience right. for this thing. So
is it going to reach endgame proportions, you think, by the time this is over?
The way that this episode went, I feel like they're really going to try to
okay,
do that.
Okay.
We've got three of them. So then we've got one Monday night and Tuesday night. So that will be the first three. And then we don't come back until January 14th, the last two. So I think by episode three on Tuesday, we'll be doing Infinity War. Mm-hmm. And by January, we'll be at Endgame.
That's the only thing that I hate is that they're breaking this up so hard. Mm-hmm. I would have preferred for them to just, like, let's end 2019 like on a bang and get through this whole thing versus like putting me on a cliffhanger, making me wait through Christmas and New Year's and like, you know, have to wait for the end of it. But especially because they only allow like 5 episodes at a time for their shows on like the CW app or Hulu or whatever. So like if
yeah,
I need to
backlogs.
Play catch up, I can't. That sucks too. So
is there someone that you guys just not just because they're perfectly casted for the role or whatever, it's like, is there somebody that you're like, this is the character that I care about in this series and that's why I'm watching?
Of the cameos or just in general?
In general.
In general.
You mean across any of the shows?
I mean,
for this particular series, yeah.
I'm for Supergirl or for any of the CW?
Or any of the CW.
Yeah. Yeah, I care about a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. I think Jefferson Pierce is great. It was
he's
really
your favorite?
Well
I love him so much. He's just excellent. So great. I also interviewed him at Comic-Con once, and he is legitimately a foot and a half taller than me.
Yeah.
He's tall as hell.
We had to put me on top.
Apple box?
No.
On top?
There was no Apple box. We had to put me on top of a camera kit upright. I have a picture of it. It's so, and I'm still an entire head shorter than he is. He's so tall and just an awesome person. That whole cast was amazing.
Yeah.
China's awesome too. They're all great. But I think that I care about Barry Allen a lot. Mm-hmm. I care about Kara a lot. I care about all of the Oliver. They did a great job casting these leads.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I do.
Cool.
I'm most excited about seeing Kevin Conroy. He's been my favorite Batman the entirety of always. So I'm very excited to see him come in and do
his
thing.
That's literally why I'm watching.
Yeah, that's the only reason, right?
I'm excited about that, too. My one concern with that is the only person who kind of seems out of place in the crossover right now is Kate Kane, Ruby Rose, as Batwoman. And I think Kevin Conroy's stuff is with her.
Based
on the trailer.
Yeah.
Winston's so upset about it.
Batwoman is not a good show. I'm sorry. I mean, other people might feel differently.
I like it fine.
Yeah. I just, you know, it's fine.
I like it better than Supergirl right now.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, that's fair. I think the only thing, to be honest with you, is I don't necessarily have a problem with what the show wants to do. I just don't like Ruby Rose as the character. I did with the crossover last year, and then this just doesn't fit right for me.
Yeah. I feel that. What are the people? I do agree with that. What are the people in the chat saying? I know they wanted to talk about Crisis. How did they feel about part one of the episode?
Somebody said Black Lightning. Chris Williams is that dude.
That's true.
I have a bad feeling Tom Wellingroe will be disappointing.
I could see that. There was a lot of Tyler Hoechlin last night. Superman, Tyler Hoechlin.
Uh-huh. Batwoman, very weak. So yeah, they're all mostly agreeing with you guys.
I did not. What was wild is we've been waiting 8 years for this moment, and last night online, it was trending way above. This was Watchmen. There was a lot of things people were talking about.
I literally forgot this started this weekend.
Yeah,
which is
it was a lot of hurry up and wait. So I feel like people have been talking about this for so long, but then nobody was watching it last night.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I live streamed through it.
Ah, yeah.
I do a live stream on my YouTube.com/RoxyStrayer.
Yeah, Saul's your biggest fan, yeah.
Plug!
And I am the biggest CWDC fan that I know, and Crisis was on, and I was live streaming.
There you go.
And I was off in time for Watchmen.
Damn.
So, there's...
But that's because you got to keep your priorities straight.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, that's the same thing I would do. If you can only watch one, then you're going to watch Watchmen.
And also,
that's what I would do. Watchmen is amazing.
Mm-hmm. I agree, but also fuck Watchmen and fuck when they see us.
God damn nomination.
Exactly. Yo, Mark, talk about other news. What else we got today?
Can we talk about the sad news?
While we're
on things that make us upset.
R.I.P. Juice World, man. Because
this is part
of
my childhood.
From the Golden Globe nominations.
The Sesame Street vet, Carol Spinney, is that
Carol Spinney, yeah.
Is the beloved voice of Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch. Yeah, he passed away, and it's, you know, that's the hard thing when one of your childhood, like, it's Big Bird. I had Big Bird on my wall. I had Oscar the Grouch on my closet. I'd like this is the actor that like really did something special that everybody knows now. So he's passed away. And thoughts on that, Jarena? I really want to talk about it.
Obviously, I mean, look, Sesame Street. I used to watch it in English and in Spanish when I was a kid. It helped me learn English. I totally loved the Count. He was my jam.
The Count.
The Count was amazing.
And two. And obviously, you know, I think it's really cool that what did I just miss?
No, you and me.
My little it genuinely just gave me a little mini giggle.
Oh.
That's all that was.
Is that how you laugh?
A little mini giggle. It just depends. Yeah, but that's
Carol's making us laugh even from the grave.
Oh. That's the thing that's so cool. Look, nobody. If anybody can live that long, that's
great. Oh my God! I'm dressed like Big Bird today.
You kind of have his hair, too.
I did. I got his
You're a little more mustardy than
Big Bird.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. This is what, we're more Ernie.
But he was also Oscar the Grouch because obviously somebody I related to. But how cool is it that he spent his life making kids happy, making people happy, being a positive influence on kids? Sesame Street is still awesome to this day. So thank you to Carol and to anybody basically at that's related to Jim Henson. And because those if the Muppets or the Sesame Street Muppets didn't exist, I feel like I would be more of an asshole.
They did write the Sesame Street was tweeting really beautiful things about him yesterday as well. But he wasn't the only person we lost yesterday. I'm sure there was a lot more. But Renee from Star Trek Deep Space Nine also passed away yesterday. And I was going through his massive IMDb, which has 228 actor credits, which like I can't even imagine being on set. And many of them were like 74 episodes of this and 100 episodes. Like so many. Yeah, to be a working actor to that extent.
That's the dream.
I'm blanking on his last name right now. Hopefully you guys can help me. But he was very, very talented. And
he played an iconic character.
Oh, that's why I'm blanking on it because I don't know how to pronounce it.
Aubergenois? I don't know.
Yeah,
Aubergenois.
Really, really very talented character actor and VO actor as well. Mm-hmm. So while we're thinking about crying, I just figured I'd add more people that have passed away.
I appreciate
yes, of course.
Train.
No, and Benson, man. He's iconic character. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was just going to say, I appreciate that we have somebody that can pronounce everything in here. You know, you got...
Oh, I'm just reading stuff in Spanish. It doesn't mean that's
correct. No, but then he got... I can't say it. Aubergenois, he said that right, I guess, you know. And
I did.
Yeah,
it's you're also talking to the guy who called Mark Maroney.
Yeah, this is very true. Yeah, I know. I suffer from a JTE every once in a while now.
We all have the brain farts.
I have that for sure. Other news, Mark. Anything else going on in the news?
I'd like to talk about this. George Miller has confirmed that Mad Max Fury Road sequel is, in fact, coming.
Are you serious? I didn't know that.
This happened on Friday. I did want to mention this because I know, Darina, you wanted to. He said, I'm not done with the Mad Max story, and I think you have a multitasker that there's certainly another Mad Max coming down the pike. After this, he's...
Is it the pike or pipe?
He said pike.
What is it?
Pike.
I thought it was
P-I-K-E.
Pipe.
I thought things come down
because
the pipe.
Things
like
come down
pipe
the pipe
line.
Like a pipe. Yeah.
I thought it said pike. Yeah.
No, he said pike.
Pike?
That's the quote.
Pike
but...
like a highway?
I always
like
see a
mass
pike
turnpike?
Is a it's like a metal thing that goes down and the water rushes down. And
Doreen is like actually get to the story that I want to
talk
about.
I want to learn this because remember English. Mm-hmm. Is it down the pike or down the pipe?
I can't read that far. Can you
the
read
original
it?
Phrase down the pike means in the course of events or more recently in the future. Mm. Pike here is short for turnpike.
That's what I just said. Like the mass turnpike.
And it has been mistaken as down the pipe.
Wow.
So
you said
there you
highway.
Go.
You didn't say turnpike. You just said down the highway.
And then I said like the mass turnpike.
Oh, well, that should probably be talking to the mic. I just missed that last part.
Hey, Roxy.
But I also thought it was pipe.
Yeah, that's fine.
Also,
hey, Roxy.
I'm right.
What rhymes with pike?
That like
ah, you got her.
Like
woo!
No, I can do
oh,
more.
Oh shit! Go ahead.
I'm
gonna
take
go
a hike because that's what I really like.
Whoa.
To do with when I have on shoes and also
that last kiss.
Advanced groundlings, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, and continue. I know that this is actually probably very exciting news for you, Darina.
I am very excited. Mad Max, which I sometimes call Furry Road, which would be Fury Road because I'm reading it in Spanish.
That's the porn spin-off.
Imagine that version.
Did you watch?
No, it's one of the, of course, it's one of the, it's in my top 10 best of the decade.
It was very good.
It's an amazing movie.
Have you guys done your top 10 of the decades yet?
I'm
trying, but it's hard.
It's really hard.
We should do it for one of our last episodes of the year.
Every single superhero movie of the decade or something a couple episodes ago?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was crazy.
I was listening to it in the shower, and I was like, oh, my God, they're really going to go through every single one of these movies right now.
There's a lot. That's what I was saying, man. But
you want to know what I learned? What I realized was not on there? The kitchen.
Oh, that's right. You do like,
but well, it just was. They were going through every comic book movie of the decade, and
but you didn't like it, right?
Movie. I did like it.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, I did. But whether I liked it or not, it is a movie that exists.
It is. Yes, it is. It's one of the 200 that
it's
you watched.
It's a movie. It's definitely a movie.
I'm trying to think about how many I actually watched. Probably not 200. Probably.
closer to 100.
Hey, Roxy.
Still a lot. What?
Guess who's coming in a little bit.
I know, but they're running a little
behind.
Running
behind.
Yeah.
Running behind, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm vamping a little
okay.
bit.
Okay. Should we open up the phone lines then?
Oh, you know what? Yeah, let's take a phone call before we have Justin Long in studio because
smart.
Traffic is a bitch.
That's pretty bad.
Let's take a call.
That's pretty bad.
I agree with everything Darina just said, but Justin Long
do
will
you want me to
still
ask
be coming.
For you
Dan Schechter as well.
When they call.
I do want you
can
to.
Can you meow?
But I don't want you to ask me if I want that. I just want you to know that intrinsically.
There's a video going around where there's this dude. He comes out. He goes, hey, man, why you got a purse? Hey, ain't no purse, motherfucker. I got this Patron in this motherfucker. Get out here. Get your back. And everybody and the caption was like, I have yet to hear a single person hit that noise that comes out of his mouth perfectly, but I practiced all weekend.
Right.
So that's my new impression, is that tiger growl for whatever reason.
That's a pretty good one.
Thank
you.
Damn
you could
good,
be
dude.
Like,
yeah.
you could do commercials as Tony the Tiger.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
In that, all seriousness, yeah. in prepping for the Justin Long interview, I've learned some of his impressions. Holy shit,
oh,
that
really?
Guy can impersonate
Kenny.
Me.
Kenny?
Yeah, but like not real people. Like he makes up characters on the spot that are wild child.
So that doesn't sound like an impression.
But,
that sounds like
no,
a,
but because it will be
voice.
Like what you just said. Like
yeah.
a, he'll be like all doing an impression of an older person. Like not a specific,
oh,
but
okay,
like
okay,
you get what I'm
okay,
saying.
Okay,
yeah.
sure. Now I understand. I was like, what? Did he's not impersonating
no,
anybody?
He's not like I'm being Bill Murray. He'll
yeah,
be
yeah,
like
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm being an old white dude.
Okay,
speaking of impressions, Roxy, the other day you were trying to teach me how to do a British accent, and can you do it again? Because it was really good. I was actually quite
oh.
quite.
I feel like she's setting me up for failure.
No.
Quite impressed.
What did you say?
Oh, absolutely. The Queen's English, where you have to actually pronounce every single syllable. I think that's what a Queen's English is.
Properly?
Properly pronounce.
Properly?
Properly
can you guys
pronounce.
Do it?
You sound like you're from London.
You sound like
are
you're
you
from
know?
London.
That's
fuck you. It's an illusion. Fuck you. Cody,
I mean,
anybody calling in for us? Yeah. Let's take this call. Caller. You're on Clyde
hey,
Live.
Hi.
Cool. What's up, Josh? What do you got for
hey,
us today?
The answer is no.
So, I want to know, have you guys seen Honey Boy?
Not
have you guys
yet.
Honey Boy yet?
Josh, good question. I have not.
I keep hearing that I should watch it.
I did not.
You guys need to watch Honey Boy. This
yeah.
movie is incredible. I'm so sad. Shia LaBeouf is getting snubbed at every award show right now, and I'm really sad
yeah.
about it.
I think he is a, and I don't mean this meanly to him because I don't know him, he seems to be a hard horse to back sometimes. Hollywood,
oh, for sure.
Hollywood's been burned by him a couple of times, I think, but he's ridiculously talented.
Mm-hmm.
So if things were just based on talent alone, I think he would get a little more love. Alex, I know I keep asking you this throughout the show, but I feel like you actually did see this one.
I did see it.
Okay.
And the boy... Shoot, I forgot his name. But he was also in A Quiet Place and Ford v. Ferrari. He's also really good in it. Mm-hmm. The guy who plays the Shia LaBeouf stand-in.
Okay.
Okay, word.
The kid, yes.
Mm.
Word.
Is it on your top of the year, Alex?
It is not on my top, but it is in my top category. Best of the best of the year.
Okay.
You have categories?
Yeah, I have categories.
Cody.
I
you haven't seen my spreadsheet yet.
Josh, thank you so
that.
Much for calling in. Alex, thank you so much for having categories. Let's take another call if we have one. Caller, you are on Collider Live. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
What up? This is Easy from Seattle.
Easy from Seattle. Seattle's
how's
one of my
going,
favorite places
Easy?
On the planet. What's
yes.
going on? What do you got for us?
So I've been watching The Flash for a minute, right? That's kind of like a guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
I know. Watch it with me, but
I don't need to. Yes,
if you could direct an episode of The Flash, like, and use like, I mean, he got a black dad and a, like a black wife. Like, I don't know why they never used that.
They did. I what's
up? Like, opportunity there, you know?
No, hey, what's up, man? It's Winston. How you doing, bro?
That's it, bro.
No, I agree with you. They cover it every now and again, but they try and just kind of wipe it over. I agree with you. I think the thing that I hate
they
the most is
they try to wipe over what the fact that
they're black. They don't.
Iris
think,
and Joe and
they, okay. they. I think that was the whole thing. That's why I was kind of pissed that they found a way to write out Kid Flash. I think that was also to waste Wally like that. I thought was a huge wasted opportunity. But I think the main reason
the actor.
It was part of it. I know that he wasn't getting along with Grant Gustin had a lot to do with it. There was some stuff there.
Was
but
it Keenan Lonsdale? Is that
Yes. But I think the other thing, man, is because a lot of times networks like that, they're like, well, you know what? Black Lightning's handling black issues, so we're just going to stick to our stories for Flash. So it's unfortunate, but I think that that's kind of what's going on there, man.
Shit. Hey, one more. I heard y'all talk about the vaping. I'm vaping right now, so I'm kind of like, I don't know.
I feel the same way, man. I'm not going to stop, but also I'm curious about it.
Yeah. Bro, I'm telling you, just treat it like Four Loko. Just don't do like...
Don't overdo it.
The equivalent was what? 5 Four Lokos a day? Don't like hit your pen every like 2 minutes. Like, you know, give yourself a little bit of time to breathe oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, in general, anything you put in your lungs, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't... Let's breathe. Yeah, yeah. Also, breathe oxygen is Winston's recommendation to you.
Excuse me, doctor, what's your rec?
That I could tell. Brother, you black, ain't you?
Oh, you already know. Come on now.
That's my rec.
I don't get what you get.
It's a spider sense. I don't know what the fuck to tell you. I just know when I'm speaking to Miles Morales and not Peter Parker, all right? It is what the fuck it is.
I missed Avenue here, Winston.
I missed you too.
You rock. Thank you so much for calling in. Let's take another call before we go to our break. Given our... All right, caller. You are on Live. Put your name where you're calling from.
Hey, it's Ben from Virginia Beach.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, Ben.
Ben, what's going on, man? What do you got for us?
Hey, so I just got an overall question for Winston, actually.
What's good?
Cool. So, like, my question is, so I'm black myself. So, like, with a lot of, like, the unique things that are going on in Hollywood, I find that there's a kind of a calm, I'm not really surprised, within our community of brown people.
Mm-hmm.
But I notice with some of the folks who don't look like me, there's, like, a lot of shock and stress, and I find myself having to comfort them. Mm. So with you being a professional, how have you handled that?
Shock in what regard? What are you talking about with what's going on with, like, nominations? Are you talking about with the election? What do you mean?
Kind of like the different injustices, the different, like, biases. And, like, we are already like, oh, yeah, of course, we just got to go through it. But for folks who aren't really aware of it, it's kind of like a, wow, I can't believe it's happening.
Right.
And there can be, like, kind of a rage. So sometimes I'm like, I want to comfort you, but also this is happening to me.
Sure.
So sometimes I feel like, so how have you navigated that being in the industry?
That's a good question. I think the biggest way that I did it is a while ago I had a show that I made called Positive Black People News. And it literally the point of it was to do like positive news stories about black people. And the main reason is I genuinely got broke when Philando Castillo got killed. That was the one that got me because my parents were always like, just comply with the cops and come home and we'll deal with the repercussions later. And to hear someone do everything he's supposed to do and still get shot for it, like... really broken. Yeah. So I think the big thing is when I have the emotional bandwidth to teach non-black people about what's going on, I do. And when I don't, I make it very clear, like, look, I don't have time for that right now. Like, I have to take care of my own well-being. And it's as simple as that, I think, is that you find the balance of when it's important to do that and when you need to take care of yourself. That's kind of like the whole oxygen mask on a plane. You got to make sure you're breathing first before you try and help anybody else. So,
great advice, Winston.
That's freaking dope. Thanks,
man. Yeah, no worries.
What a great call.
Thanks for calling in.
Really appreciate that. Wow, we've been all over the map today.
Yeah. It's been quite the Monday morning, guys.
It's just emotionally exhausting. Monday.
Yeah.
All right, one more call before we go to commercial. One more call, Cody. One more call.
You could be giving some worldly advice the day before
I get a
year older.
You feel good about yourself, Big Bird, right now?
Before I get a year older. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, this is my two-step right here.
Caller, you're on Collider Live. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Trevor from Nova Scotia in Canada.
Wow.
Hey, Trevor.
Hey, Trevor. Thanks for calling. What do you got
maybe
for us
today?
Oh,
maybe he's Canadian. I don't know.
Well, I didn't necessarily want to bring the mood down, but I know you guys brought up a couple of big names that passed away recently. There was another one that passed away just recently, Michael Lamper, the husband of Marina Sirtis from Star Trek Next Generation.
Oh, that's right. I heard about that, yeah.
A lot of people died this weekend.
It's December. That's when it happened.
Wow. Cody, can you pull it up? It's supposed to be time for Jesus and my birthday and what the hell?
It's because the people need to die so Jesus gets born.
Oh,
that's how it works.
That's
No.
That's not what Jesus think, man. <That's>
all right, Lady Death. Jesus.
I didn't know it was a sacrifice for our Lord Jesus.
Is there something, Trevor, did you want to say something about him or did you just want to bring that up?
Kind of just wanted to bring it up, but I mean, they met on an episode of Star Trek: The Next Generation, so I just thought that was kind of an interesting fact. I mean, Marina tweeted about it this morning, so
Yeah. Aww. Thank you for calling in. We really appreciate that.
Also, Juice WRLD died.
I said it like five times.
Oh, nobody, you did
I
already?
Did, yeah.
Also, Juice what?
Juice I didn't hear you.
You think okay, Juice okay. or Juice?
How, Juice.
Oh, I have a problem with the.
What? Yeah, I missed all that. What happened?
I have a problem with the J sometimes.
That's fine.
Yeah.
No, it was
you were saying Juice WRLD.
Yeah, because then I'll be like, instead of job, I'll be like, yub.
I got a yab, like yab at a hut.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Who has a yab? I have a yab.
What did, why did he die? What happened?
He had a seizure, but it sounds like, as I would have guessed, an OD. Like, he apparently took a whole bunch of pills prior to the seizure happening.
Oh, God.
Not like right away, but it was just... The thing that I don't like is that they found like 70 pounds of weed on like his personage.
Oh, Jesus. And
I was like, bro... God damn.
Well, at least he wasn't vaping.
True.
Guys, Justin Long, Dan Schechter coming in right now after this break. We're talking After Class and a whole lot more. Thank you so much to Winston for coming in today. Where can everybody keep up with you?
At the Swaggy Blur, TheSwaggyBlurred, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. I'm over at SEN Live a couple days a week, and you know, I'll be on Sports Time today. So if you're around at 1, definitely check that out.
Awesome. Thanks for being here. We'll see you guys soon. Drunk on a mountain in a hot tub.
John Roca.
We'll watch it.
What a twist!
He is still working on his spoonsmanship.
Sit down!
God damn it, shut the fuck up!
Beat that ass. I want some candy ass! I want your ass, and I want it now. Oh.
Wow. Wow. What? Wow. Wow.
All right, let's try it once more for the stupid people. You know who you are. Maybe you don't know who you are. You people are stupid. I'm fooling you and you don't like it.
Almost there, guys.
We are back with Collider Live. You guys are hearing us talk donuts, which is not what we're talking today, but equally as important.
Shout
guys,
out to SK Donuts.
Okay. Wow.
SKT.
They need to clip that out and make a lot of money off that. Justin Long and Dan Schechter in the house.
Yeah. Welcome.
Talking After Class, a movie that Darina and I watched and absolutely adored. This movie is freaking awesome.
It's so good.
Thanks so much.
Such an amazing job with it, and I couldn't believe when I was listening to you guys talk about it a little bit, how quickly you shot this in 16 days, and for how little money you guys shot it for. Also, you guys being connected by Doug Benson. How does this whole movie come to be?
Done your homework.
Yeah, wow.
Thank you very much, sir.
She researches everything.
So the movie's like obviously a quasi-autobiographical thing. Some of it's fiction, but there's a lot of it that was based on my experiences, first and foremost, as a teacher in and around New York City, experiencing sort of a cancel culture, not through Twitter, but in real life, seeing a student get triggered and how polarizing that became in that environment. And then also I had family stuff that seemed to impact me. And so the movie is sort of half a dysfunctional family comedy and half sort of a culturally relevant post-Me Too kind of examination of what – I don't know how we as white guys can grow and be part of the conversation and how we feel in this particular moment.
So that's why you wanted to write it. That's why you wanted to direct it. But then why did you feel connected to this and why did you want to be a part of it? I know you're close with your grandma.
I am, yeah. I'm so sorry for eating, too, on your
Never be sorry for eating donuts.
You should
donuts,
be really sorry. It's just horrible.
It might look a little disrespectful.
As somebody with his own podcast,
I should know this.
You
I
know.
No, I like we just had Billy Crudup on, and he was shoving – he's like, I have this slice of pizza. I'm sorry. Can we start afterwards? And I was like, no, eat it. I want it because it's interesting to hear how somebody would masticate this food.
Yeah. I mean, people want to know what you sound like, but donuts in your mouth.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah.
We're all human. We're all hungry.
Yeah. So. No, we're coming
true
from
with acting, it's helpful. If an actor's ever not being great, if you give them something to eat, somehow they always sound funny or seem natural. But yeah, it doesn't work on radio.
Well, I have low blood sugar too, so this is now going to go a lot better because I have a little bit of thank you for indulging that. And that donut was so good. I can't get over how good it
I'm
was.
I'm going to have one after.
I didn't even get one.
But yes, Doug Benson texted me about it. That's how I first heard about Dan's script. And he said – and right away, you know, Doug's somebody that I really respect. I value his opinion about movies. And so when he kind of validated Dan, that went a long way. And so I was eager to read the script. And I loved it. I loved the way the dialogue flowed and how natural it felt. And it was a story that I felt was really important and told in a very balanced, nuanced way, which is difficult with subject matter like this, and I think really necessary with subject matter like this. So yeah, it I was flattered that Dan wanted me to do it.
Yeah, and I mean, I was telling Roxy before the interview today that the reason I love the movie is that I find it hard to, especially now in the age where we kind of all, you know, have a sort of like, you know, one minute attention span.
Yeah.
That these types of movies, when they're conversational, right? It's a very intimate movie with, you know, the teacher in the classroom and with his family. And the writing was so good. It was funny constantly. Like, I was very impressed with that. And at the same time, I also read some reviews, and a lot of them, somebody mentioned it was basically about the perils of political correctness. So I think that's an interesting thing that you guys did so well. How did you manage to do that? Because to me, it's very hard to, even when I say the words cancel culture or woke, it's like that triggers people, right?
Yeah.
So you're playing with fire.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's difficult to talk about it in a nuanced way. And I think that's the way you have to talk about it is to understand, to have empathy for all different perspectives. And I think that's what Dan's script did very well.
We were real scared to premiere the movie. Well, we premiered at Tribeca in May, and we were almost like running drills of, oh, what if we get this question or that, because we were just prepared for someone to be outraged. And now we've had 30 festivals under our belt. We're now starting to screen the movie for real, because it's right now it's out on VOD and in theaters. And I don't know, we've been thrilled that I don't think we've gotten any pushback, because the movie is not advocating for any side except that, hey, like, let's try to have some kind of nuanced conversation about what is obviously a tricky subject. And in this movie, this character that Justin plays, Josh, does something right at the beginning that is, in my opinion, just very borderline controversial. Mm-hmm. And it triggers a student. It upsets them. And then instead of having some kind of healthy chat about it, immediately everyone goes to their far corners. And it's a lot about how Justin, which is some version of myself, becomes very defensive and dismissive and not really very eager to validate somebody else's feelings. But also about how, you know, the other side isn't particularly looking at him as a human being either. I'm so struck by this conversation because I think I've only discussed this movie with, like, men.
Yeah, we were just talking about that, how valuable it would be to talk about this with,
that opening scene men. As a non-white man, I will say that I didn't blink at it.
Wow.
I heard what happened, and I don't want to give it away for anybody who hasn't seen it, and you can and see it now on demand in select theaters. I didn't blink. I was like, what a good teacher. Really?
Yeah, same. Yeah.
Really pulling it out.
Yeah.
Same. I was like, oh, I want to be in that classroom. Well, that seems like a good teacher.
He's
trying
to get a story to get a story out of a student in the class he's encouraging her to talk about something that happened.
And it's a little provocative, I guess, but not in a way that I felt crossed the line or is alone in a room with somebody. Yeah. You know,
that's interesting.
I felt like it was a very safe space. Going to ask you guys a question about that title in a second anyway. To have that conversation.
Yeah.
So then when the movie progresses, I was like, wow, this is how this happens. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is how it happens. Where do you guys lie on that opening scene? Do you have an opinion on it?
I'm curious what you have to say.
I had a similar feeling as you did, I think, that it was not – I come from a family that we encourage – We provoke one another, and we encourage stories, fun stories to be told and shared, and even if they have a bit of a scandalous element to them. So I think – and I just grew up loving movies like that and literature like that. So that maybe pushes the envelope a little bit. But I also I think the way Dan shot it it's funny. I could see how that may be triggering. I'm also now trying to have more empathy for people who are triggered by things that I wouldn't find triggering.
Now because of the movie or now because of the times?
I think the times did that more than the movie. I mean, I think we've been talking about this a lot and what a necessary, you know, monumental movement it's been and how we've all been affected by it. And I think the effect that it's had on me is to consider other people's feelings a little bit more and to have a little bit more empathy for people's histories. And as a straight white male, I cannot relate to a marginalized people. I don't know what it's like to be underprivileged. I don't know what it's like to be, you know, fearful walking home in the dark. You know, I just haven't had that experience. So I think we have to be a little bit more conscientious of others' experiences.
I did not do what the character does in the movie, but I could have easily done what he did. Mm-hmm. I was a very inexperienced, overenthusiastic teacher. He's trying to get this young woman to kind of open up and reveal something personal because he's sort of like, hey, like, we're all adults here. Mm-hmm. Let's remove the taboo of sex in this classroom. But I think now with the gift of experience, I'm a big guy. I'm kind of intense. She's a young woman. I don't know what her personal experiences are outside the classroom. Mm-hmm. So I kind of oscillate back and forth. I really tried to choose something that was right on the line. And I think half the people who watch that opening scene almost have a tough time like trying to start to like Justin because they've been a bit put off. And half the people are like,
have you gotten that feedback?
Oh, totally. Yeah. Half and half, I would say.
From an interviewer, in fact, we were in Boston from a very I would say she seemed very reasonable and was just very honest about how she didn't like my character.
That's interesting. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
They say you're not supposed to judge your character, right? When you're learning to in acting classes, like acting 101. Yeah. You're not supposed to judge if you're a villain or not. You're just supposed to live its truth.
Totally.
So when you took this on, did that come into your mind in any way?
No. I think because I was aware of just wanting to be as you know open and play the intention. And no, in fact, if anything, you're supposed to – like you're supposed to identify with the character. And I've heard – I was – again, talking to Billy Crudup about this. Crudup was talking about a character that he's now playing on Apple TV show, the Jennifer Aniston show.
The Morning Show.
And
it's just got all the noms at the Golden Globes.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. That's okay. I really loved that first episode. And the way Billy was playing this character was just very sort of matter-of-fact. I mean he's saying some – I don't know if have you seen the first episode?
No, I have not seen it yet.
Oh, okay. Well, I won't give anything away. But it was just, yes, having to identify with somebody that you're playing who's maybe doing some very unlikable things. And so, no, when I read it, I didn't have a strong opinion either way about who was right, who was wrong. It was just like, can I play this part?
It's kind of a weirdly brave role for Justin to take because it could have looked pretty douchey right now to be like, oh, here's sort of a white guy sort of trapped in the middle here trying to grow, trying to catch up. But we didn't want to make it a movie about pitying somebody in that position because I don't think that would ever have been a really good look right now. We were hyper aware of that too. But Justin, to his credit, never was like, I don't know if this is likable, if I should do it. He just fully did every scene. And then in editing, we managed to find ways to challenge the audience with the likability of that character, but also because it's Justin and his brand as being a pretty likable person, it was a useful tool for us.
Well, there was a scene that you were contemplating cutting out, I think that did scare me a little bit. The prospect of it not being in the movie was when he gets confronted by the two white kids. And they ask him to join the Facebook page. And I felt that was important just to, you know.
Because they were so extreme and you were not trying to make that kind of mark.
Right. And to establish that as a boundary for where this character was willing to tread and what he was, going out of his way then to avoid. And the slippery slope that he is on. That kind of thinking can lead to chat room that's for, you know.
You see it in culture all the time. I can't tell you how many white guys on the sly, you know, when I would interview crew members, it was the first time I would really have long chats with people about the script. And a lot of white guys would kind of say sotto voce, like, I'm glad you're giving it to these goddamn kids. You know, it was a Rorschach test, the script, and they failed.
They thought you were making a statement that's different than what you were actually
Look, trying to it's say. Just so not fun to have white male be a pejorative and read it every day on Twitter, and I'm on Twitter all the time.
Right.
And I understand why that is, but I think the movie's trying to show at the beginning that's not going to be the way you can make a teachable moment with somebody who is winnable, like this character, that you could penetrate if you, frankly, take a little more effort to articulate your experience as opposed to throwing a rock at the person. And and that's asking a lot of someone who's experienced trauma and who's frustrated and who's, I think, in those years we all became hyper aware of it, not just white guys who were aware of other people's, but people became – every culture became very aware of their own anger, Black Lives Matter, and these things that were fueling my students in such an exciting way. And they all wanted to be activists. To their credit, they weren't just trying to be jerks. They wanted to mirror what they were seeing on television. They wanted to be an activist. And just like I was sort of experimenting with teaching and failing, I think sometimes they weren't always advocating for their positions in the best way.
What you're talking about is slightly political and just a little off topic, but I do want to ask because you took off your jacket. You are wearing a Bernie shirt.
Yeah.
Is that your dude?
That's my dude. My person. I love him. He's somebody who has walked the walk and, you know, for years. I mean, his convictions have been time tested, and I just really admire him. He's really inspiring to hear speak. And
I voted for him in the primaries last time. Yeah,
as did I.
So there you go. Yeah,
going back to the movie though, Fran Drescher,
Speaking of Bernie Sanders.
She's the best.
Speaking of Bernie Sanders, I had no good segue. So, Fran Drescher.
Hey, I could see those two hanging out. That'd be great.
Right? And I would like to be in that room badly.
Yeah, me too.
How does she get involved in this project? And also, what I know this is a basic question, but what does she like to work with? I think people have wondered that for so long.
We're kind of obsessed with her.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
She's the best. Speaking of impressions.
I said you do impressions on all these shows. Unprompted impressions. And it's so great.
Totally unsolicited.
I love it.
You don't shut up about
One day I got a text.
Good thing we gave him a donut.
From my mom.
Oh, I know.
I got a text from my mom one day and it just said Fran Drescher. And I didn't know what the context was, but she was pitching her as a version of herself in the movie because she knew I was making something vaguely based on our family. And my mom was the same age, grew up in Queens. They have a similar energy. And to me, it was like, I was like, oh, that's cool. That's like Ray Romano when he does like a Scorsese thing. It's fun to take an actor like that and then get the new thing that they do. And then, because I loved her in Spinal Tap, and we had seen her do things like that. And then she came in, and there's still the special thing you love about Fran, but then there's the added energy of like, oh, I've never seen her be that natural, that what she is in real life in a movie before. And then Justin and her had a really nice rapport as well.
Oh, man, we really hit it off. I mean, right away, as I did with Kate Berland, we got really lucky because I hadn't worked with either of them. Kate played my sister in the movie, and
she's hysterical.
She's so funny. I mean, I was a fan of hers going in. Her stuff with John Early is so good. But she's – yeah, right away we just liked each other. And Fran is such a warm – a surprisingly warm, accessible person. I wasn't that familiar with the nanny, but, you know, of course I knew who she was. Mm-hmm. She was always this kind of larger-than-life – I mean, that laugh is real too, by the way. All of that is – she's not pushing it. Well, maybe she was pushing it a little bit on the nanny. I don't know. She just
– I think so, yes.
I guess, yeah.
But she made me egg salad when I went to her apartment to talk about the script for the first time. It was the best fucking egg salad I've ever had.
Oh, really?
Like, my first
did you request egg salad or that's what – she just
said
you want some of my egg
salad?
No,
she was like a Jewish mother the second I walked into the apartment and she was immediately interested in feeding me and being
all
sweet.
Organic stuff. She's really into healthy eating. Healthy living. That's how she overcame. It's what she attributes to having overcome cancer.
Oh, wow.
She has this organization called Cancer Schmancer, and it's all about, you know, just cleaning your body. Right. And, yeah.
You talk about being triggered a little bit, and she does have quite a horrific history in her past. And I'm curious, did you get her opinion on any parts of the movie that did have to do with that?
Also, to plug Justin's podcast, they have a phenomenal conversation about her experience that I even learned more about.
Yeah.
About
Life is Short.
Life is Short.
Check it out.
And it was so great. And she even attributes – just to give one whatever spoiler of that interview, she got cancer afterwards and she had this profound – statement that she said on Justin's podcast, which she wouldn't let anyone take care of her after she had this horrible sexual assault.
Yeah.
But when she had cancer, she had to have people take care of her. And she almost felt that maybe the cancer could have been a byproduct of her suppressing the trauma that she had. So it was fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, when she read the script, we had discussed that because I'm aware that I'm a guy and I wanted to hear that experience. I wanted to make sure I was handling
it
sensitively. Very, very open. And she was frankly more interested in her character, but I think she immediately felt that there was a sense. It was after she saw the movie, I think, that had more impact on her, and she was very complimentary about it.
Do you guys think that because of our time and specifically what we're talking about right now, is it more difficult to make certain types of art? Do you think people are trying to not even talk about it and not even have the conversation? Because that's what bothers me, because I think that there's nothing wrong with just talking about it, right? And having a nuanced conversation.
Yes.
The problem then becomes, because we live in this soundbite culture, and that is propagated on Twitter, and it's difficult. Talking about it is – you're subject to those soundbites being taken out of context or used – weaponized in some way. So I agree with you. I think the only way to really move the needle and achieve progress is to have these conversations. And I think that's what Dan's script did so well. He was presented this thing in such a nuanced way and as agenda free way as you can. But it's difficult, you know, because of the culture, the sound bites.
Of course, I agree with that. But to play devil's advocate, this movie is better because I was afraid to make it. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, I cared a lot more about every joke and I thought a lot harder about every joke, and it was because I didn't want to offend somebody. But you've seen the movie. It has teeth. It's not like let's kiss everyone's ass and be a safe movie. People have come up to me and said, yo, that's brave to say, to which I interpret, I think a lot of these things and I would be afraid to put in a movie. But because I cared more about how people would receive the movie and we wanted to stand behind it 5 years, 10 years, 20 years from now, we chased down the butt of every joke. And I think that kind of thoughtfulness is not a bad thing for art. So I think both sides of that are true. But it's not a terrible thing that you care a bit more about what you tweet and what you say and who you might be upsetting mm-hmm. and offending. And that's cool, too.
You take an extra 5 seconds sure. to figure that out. Yeah.
That's not the worst thing.
Yeah.
You've done a really interesting job your whole career, and I think an amazing job picking which roles that you are going to take.
That's so nice.
And I heard you talking on Malton Law Movies. I'm a close friend of Jesse's. And,
oh, yeah.
And I love the Maltons. Yeah. But I heard you talking about this wild Blues Clues story.
Yes, yes.
Can you tell what happened there?
Well, it was. This is before I had any sort of the luxury of being able to be at all choosy about acting. It was just the first professional offer I had was to. It was the way I got my agent. In fact, was I had taken a semester off from school. I wanted to work, and parents were we were having a hard time, you know, paying the bills and whatever. There's a financial situation, so I had to just work for a little bit, and it was very exciting. I would go in for – I was living in Poughkeepsie but taking the train in for open – I would just go on open calls. Like they call them cattle calls. Mm. And I went in for one called for Blue's Clues for the Nickelodeon show. And, you know, it's the first one you go in on. It's like they – it's literally – you're being herded around. That's why they call them cattle calls. They're kind of like – they're not – there's no respect or anything. They just kind of herd you all. Okay, next. It's that stereotypical thing. And then I ended up going back in, and every time I go back in, they'd get progressively nicer, and you know they would be slightly more respectful. And then by the end, they offered me a holding deal to replace the current host, whose name was Steve, if you remember.
Of course.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I remember.
Sure. So I was going to replace Steve, but I think they were going through contract negotiations with him, and they just needed a backup. I didn't know this at the time. So it was the day before I was set to go back to school. I got a call saying they offered me this part. It was like a dream call because I was delivering pizzas and I had no money at the time. And they said they were going to give me $15,000 to do nothing for 3 months. And so I was like, that's, you know, that's more money than I had ever conceived of making. And so I called up some of those agents that I had sent my, you know, Kmart headshot to months later. I never heard from. And all the receptionists were like okay, send your picture and resume. And I go, oh, but you know, I actually just need help with the contract. And so as soon as they hear contract, they're like, oh, hold on. Let me get an agent on the phone. And that was how I got this agent. They were called Innovative Artists. And once I had the agent, I didn't want to then sign the deal because I was so eager to go out and not be held back for 3 months. And within those 3 months, I got an audition for this Pilot Ed, and then that turned into Galaxy Quest, and from then on things just started rolling, and I kept deferring my enrollment into school, so I never went back to school after that.
I didn't finish school either.
Yeah, but it was because of Blue's Clues that I got the agent. So
can you do your best Blue's Clues host right now?
Well, I just remember there being a lot of somewhere out there there's a whole episode because I did a screen test.
Oh wow!
And it's all like obviously green screen, and then you're talking to like I remember. Everything was big, you know. It was like, "Hey, there's salt. Hey, salt and pepper. You know, hey, blue." It was a lot of like, "Hey, I mean, it's probably the most embarrassing thing." So if it is out there, I hope it never surfaces. But I'd like to see it because I'm curious. I don't remember how that guy sound, how Steve sounded. I just remember
kind of like that.
Yeah, that was perfect.
He was kind of like a little animated, and I remember doing that.
You ever think about the roles that you did turn down like that for and where your career would be now? There are a lot of moments like that, you think?
Yeah, you know, I think more about the – when I do have moments where I dwell on that stuff, it's the parts I came really close to getting and didn't get. Those are the ones where I'm like, I wonder what that would have
like
done.
What? Can you talk about it?
Like Zombieland, for example. Ooh. Like I remember being – and I love Jesse Eisenberg, and I think that worked out for a reason. I think it makes sense why I didn't get that. But, you know, I remember reading with Woody Harrelson, and we were about the same height. People don't realize that Woody is not as tall as they think. So I think that was at least the excuse they gave me. I think Jesse is better in that movie and does something in that movie that I am not as equipped to do. I think he's just brilliant. And we're not friends, so I think he knows that, and I hope that's not weird. But I remember Woody Harrelson writing me a really lovely, like, meant a lot to me. He wrote me a letter about
when you didn't get the part.
Yeah, and it was really sweet. And he did not have to do that, and it meant a lot to me.
That's awesome.
What did he – do you remember what he said
yeah,
at all?
Yeah, just – it was really complimentary. It was trying to like kind of let me down in a – it was, did not have to do that. And I can't quote it. But, you know, I have it here with me. Why don't I just – no.
We left the letter out there. Yeah. Well, we don't have you guys for much more time, but we did want to do one quick thing with you, Justin. I hope this is okay.
Sure.
10 one-word answers from Justin Long.
It's going to be tough.
10 one-word answers.
You had a donut. You'll be fine.
Okay.
Here we go.
No, my fear is because of the donut, it's going to be hard to just do one word.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, that's true. Well, fine. If you have a couple, okay, then we'll take it.
Because you have a sugar rush?
Just I'm a talker.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Would you do a revival of Ed?
Yes.
Yeah.
Easy.
Would you rather be in a Marvel or Star Wars movie?
Star Wars is two words, by the way.
That's true.
He just says star.
Yeah, okay. Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I grew up on Star Wars, so okay, it would be star.
Good job. Has comedy died?
Died? Oh, God, no. I think I've seen some
one
of
word
funny...
only.
Oh, sorry.
Doing?
Did I just you say discovered... it fast enough? God, no.
I just discovered Billy on the Street, so I've been binging that Billy Eichner show.
So good.
Great.
He's a genius.
Genius. I love it.
Who is your favorite person to work with?
I
Alan Rickman. I learned so much. He was one of my I just loved him as a person.
Don't try
Alan.
To cheat.
Oh, sorry. I'm not.
You
I'm,
could see
I'm,
him.
I'm zoning out. I can't read that far. But I love Sam Rockwell. I love Sam.
Nice.
Yeah. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
I get this question a lot. You would be surprised.
What happened to one?
Sorry.
I'm very strict with rules of games.
I say this all the time. You sit in the
– People don't like
you sit in the room,
no,
you play
like
the game.
Too. Yeah. I get it.
Like, come on.
Yes.
Okay. If you could be on one TV show today, what would it be?
Well, I was thinking about Gremlins. Is Gremlins a Christmas movie? I would say
yes.
Definitely yes. Yeah.
It's my favorite Christmas movie.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
The only person to write his own questions.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
I love it. If you could be on one TV show today.
That's
today,
currently on
yeah.
today. Curb.
Nice.
Curb
Your Enthusiasm. Wow, yeah. So good. What's the best Kevin Smith movie?
Chasing Amy.
Well done.
I think.
Whose real life boyfriend would you rather be, Britney Spears or Lindsay Lohan?
Real life boyfriend.
Oof. Ooh. You've played them both.
I don't know.
Wait, right now or
right
at
now,
other points
right
in your
career?
I don't know. I can't answer that.
Okay, fair enough. I don't even know how many I've asked. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We've got two more. Which movie is funnier, Accepted or Waiting?
Accepted, I think it's funny.
I think so too.
Who's the best Beatle?
I love George.
That's
love
why you're playing it.
Because you were him.
No, there's nothing to do with that, but it was a huge honor.
Justin Long, Dan Schechter. Hell
thank
yeah.
You. Thank you, guys. Thanks for talking about the movie.
Are you kidding me? Of course. We absolutely loved After Class, and it is available now on demand and also in select theaters, so go check it out. Thank you guys so much for joining us
today.
We really appreciate it.
Fun,
Darina, Mark Riley, Cody, Alex, everybody involved. Thanks, Winston, for coming in today. We'll see you guys tomorrow morning for Collider Live. Yes, Alex.
We begin today's meditation with a few sipping exercises to remind us a little treat can go a long way. So pick up your McCafe iced coffees, close your eyes, and deep sip in. And deep satisfaction out.
Take a treat retreat at McDonald's. Right now, get a McCafe iced coffee in any size and any flavor for just 99 cents until 11 a.m. Price of participation may vary.
Did you know you could shop around for prescription prices? With GoodRx, you can find free coupons at over 70,000 pharmacies and save up to 80%. It's that easy. But don't just take my word for it. Dr. Adam says, I've been telling all my patients about GoodRx. Jacqueline says, my medication was $65 without insurance, but I paid $25. Aubriana says, you don't have to pay full price to live your best life. Couldn't have said it better myself. GoodRx is 100% free. Download the GoodRx app today and start saving. GoodRx is not insurance.